gathered together from the cosmic reaches of the internet. Here in the basement of the Great Hall of Justice are the most powerful forces for good podcasting ever assembled. This is the DC Superpowers Podcast.
This looks like a job for Superman.
To the Batmobile.
My name is John Jones.
I am the Green Arrow.
Hey, super friends, welcome back to the DC Superpowers Podcast, issue number 64 for New Comic Book Day, July 12th, 2017. I'm your host, Ken Rose, and sitting along here with me in the basement of the Hall of Justice is my good buddy, Vern.
Hello, everybody.
And Vern, someone in the Justice League database kicked up an alert for this week. I guess you're having a birthday. Happy birthday, brother.
Thank you. Yeah, that's happening. I'm turning 24.
You're just a kid.
Yeah.
But this week, we're going to have to get into this quick, because this week is packed with different news and things. Between Stephen Amell and David, I can never remember his last name, from Gotham.
I wish I could help you right now.
Yeah, the kid who plays Bruce Wayne.
Young Bruce Wayne.
Them from Heroes and Villains Fest, talking to Nashville this past weekend about what's coming up in the new seasons. Everybody is filming now for next season for all the TV shows, so you're getting all the news from all that. We got Comic-Con panel news. We got some Supergirl news of some new casting. We have new TV series and movie news and comic book news. And we still have all your previews and reviews. So this is an action-packed show this week. So first one is actually we'll kick that one to during when we're talking about Comic-Con.
Okay, yeah, the we first got one a there. Lot of Comic-Con.
Let's get into the TV news first. Actually, before we do that, we actually have to tell everybody that everybody who was expecting to see us on YouTube, we're not on YouTube this week. We're still on Facebook Live, but. I'd like everybody to, we're going to start, we found out for YouTube, in order for us to actually broadcast live, we have to have 100 followers on our channel. Now, right now, our channel has no videos, so no one can even find the channel.
Yeah.
So this week, we're going to work on putting up at least one or two videos, and we're going to start feeding our YouTube channel, and we'll let you guys know on Facebook, on Instagram, and Twitter and things when the channel's ready to go so that we can start to get some followers. That way we can actually broadcast live on YouTube.
Mm-hmm.
But we got to get up to 100 followers on YouTube before we can actually broadcast live.
So once we get there, then guys, then we're going to start doing live videos. And we can just save them on YouTube, and you guys can go back whenever you want to.
Oh, yeah. But that's all the housekeeping I think we had at the moment.
Yeah.
So, let's get into some TV news. Now, this one is actually really cool. It was interesting to see because there's a recast on Supergirl that's coming up this year. We have anybody who remembers from Smallville, Erica Durance. She played Lois Lane on Smallville.
Yep.
She's actually coming to Supergirl. It's another Superman alumni. Movie or film alumni coming to Supergirl.
Don't you love how they always keep them there? And if they've had an S on their chest anywhere, even in the show, they can come back in the movies, in the film.
Oh, yeah.
Voiceovers.
Well, it's interesting because it's a character we already know.
Yeah. We've seen her. Oh, gosh. She was a series regular for seasons on seasons on seasons.
Well, it was for the first season. Erica Durance is actually coming to play Allura, Kara's mother.
Now, of course, she's being replaced with her.
Yeah, she's replacing, what was it, Laura Benanti, which I'm not sure what happened there. I guess Benanti was, she was originally killed off because her Broadway schedule was too busy and she couldn't do the show. So the last time we saw her was actually very early in season two, in the first episode. But let me see. I have a quote here from Andrew Kreisberg. He says, "Unfortunately, Laura, who Greg Berlanti and I have worked with for years, going all the way back to Eli Stone, was unable to continue her role during the work due to work commitments in New York. But we are also blessed that Erica has come aboard to offer her own interpretation of Kara's mom." We had tremendous success with former Lois Lane last season with Terry Hatcher. We know Erica will continue to the proud tradition of legacy actors joining our shows and creating new and existing takes on classic DC characters. What I'm actually kind of hoping we'll see here is if they take it, instead of it just being the hologram of Allura, maybe we'll see her actually as a younger Allura somehow.
Or have a little flashback there.
And maybe in flashbacks or something so that Laura Benanti, that's a good tongue twister for me for some reason, but hopefully seeing her take on the character, then Erica Durant's, maybe they'll make them, like I said, separate ages or something.
Something.
Or they just pick up and leave her right where it is and just say it's a new actress.
We've done it before in shows several times in the past.
Oh, yeah.
Still do that.
Mm-hmm.
But
they
we all know
all the time.
A familiar face. If you're a fan of the House of L, you've seen her before years ago on the Smallville series.
Oh, yeah.
How many years ago was that show?
Smallville was...
I know it lasted for 10 seasons, but when did that end? In 2010?
10 or 11, yeah.
Oh, man. Look at that. In 2017, we're going to see her back on TV.
Exactly. And, I don't know, Erica's Rants, I loved her as Lois Lane.
Oh, yeah, my opinion, she was the best on-screen Lois Lane.
I don't know. Like I said, a lot of stuff for me on my memories and just nostalgia goes back all the way back to Margot Kidder.
Yeah.
I loved Lois Lane in the Superman movies.
Yeah. See, but for me, from watching TV shows, from reading the comic books,
yeah.
To me, she embodied Lois Lane the best.
I don't know. Terry Hatcher did okay.
Yeah, she did good, too, but I don't know. It was just something about this. You know what? She did good Lois Lane, too. Those were probably the best two Lois Lanes. But it's glad to see her back on TV, and once again, she's working with the man with the S on his chest, or in this case, the girl with the
S on
his chest.
That's right, the girl of steel.
Yes.
Next story we had up, like I said, the TV news is coming fast and furious right now, guys. The next one we had up
there?
Is...
Huh? Was that a pun?
No, it wasn't on purpose. But we actually have three different stories coming out of Arrow. That's because Stephen Amell was at the Heroes and Villains Fan Fest in... Nashville this past weekend, and he was talking all things Arrow.
Yeah, I was gonna say, which one do you want to hit first?
You want to start with the first one?
Sure. There's just so much.
You hit
here.
The first one, and I'll hit the. And most of these is just a quick soundbite, or not a soundbite, but a quick talk about what he said. There's three different ones. We got characters coming back. We got characters changing. We got all kinds of stuff. You don't have it up,
right,
do you?
Here. Oh, I got it up. Just
okay.
Trying to read.
Well, while you're doing
that, here.
The first one was he actually.
There we are.
Stephen Amell confirmed that for season 6 we will see more Deathstroke. Deathstroke is coming back. Manu Bennett is coming back to reprise the role. They've been approved to use him off and on all season.
So he's going to be a series regular.
Yeah. Well, the actual quote is: Manu Bennett is back to being part of the show, and we will see him several times.
Okay.
So
now. From what's going on in the books, do you think he's going to be antagonist somewhat through the series, or do you think he's going to actually be on his side? Because from what we've seen in the show last season and the last episode, once he told him about his son and I can help you find him, he may continue to be an ally of his.
It's possible. Well, I also see it as a possibility of similar to the way they did with Merlin, where Merlin no longer was really Ollie's enemy,
no.
But he was never a friend.
No.
There'll be something, maybe something like that, to where it's like they're not going to be working together. But there's really no animosity between them.
I feel like his might go a little bit deeper because of what... It seems like they've put everything under the hatchet right now. They're cool with each other. He may use him as an ally, not even so much, hey, no beef, and we're cool. But also, if we need help, I'll be glad to do so. And also, since if you've noticed, as we said before, whenever something happens in the comic books, it seems to reflect on the TV show. So since Deathstroke, he's having a change of heart right now. He could be on Team Arrow.
It's quite a good possibility. Next up, we actually had Stephen Amell. The next thing he was letting everybody know about
I was happy.
Where's the actual...
You want me to...
Yeah, go ahead.
Well, during the upcoming 6th season, Amell was at the Hero and Villains Fan Fest we talked about previously in Nashville. He said that they're done with the flashbacks of the island.
Yeah, everybody, they had said last year that they were going to be wrapping it up.
Yeah.
You got to think, the 5 seasons, he was on the island 5 years.
Mm-hmm.
Well,
so
that's the
sense.
5 stories are the 5 years.
Right, and after that, we know we're going to probably get some flashbacks somewhere.
There's
here.
Gonna, yeah,
it's
this
not
show
gonna
is
be about
built,
just the Arrow.
Yeah, this show is built on flashbacks, so more than likely, like you said, it's going to be more of, because we saw that last season.
With
we saw
Renee.
A lot more of flashbacks to the other characters' past.
Felicity had one, Renee had had one.
I think we had some Diggle.
Diggle had one.
We've had Diggle multiple times.
Captain Lance had one.
Mm-hmm.
I think what Amel said in this article, we'll get to see more of the other characters have more fat flashbacks and can be focused more on their backstories. I do still think Oliver will have some flashbacks, but won't be about the island.
Yeah,
may be about something we didn't see in, say, season 2 or season 3. Maybe.
Yeah. Well, the thing is, filling in the 5 years they've done, they've basically filled in his backstory on how he became Green Arrow.
And I didn't think they were going to drag it out that long.
Yeah.
I thought they were going to do maybe like 1 year. But he was on the island for 5 years, and they stretched it out over the 5 seasons.
Mm-hmm.
And
he wasn't on the island for 5 seasons, obviously.
No.
for 5 years.
But when the show first came on for the first season, I really did not think we were going to get to season 6. And it's not I didn't have hope in the show. I just didn't think anybody besides Smallville was going to get past 5.
Like I said, Smallville went 11, or 10 seasons.
10 seasons, yeah.
11th was in comic books.
Mm-hmm. They continued it there. So let the show keep on rolling.
That's right. And then also, the last thing that we had from Stephen Amell was he was talking about, during the question and answer part of the panel, a fan actually asked him about the possibility of Roy Harper returning in Colton Haynes. And Stephen Wim, is this... Yeah, the question that was put up to him was, a fan asked during the question and answer, I know that Thea is kind of taking the role of your sidekick, but do you ever miss having Roy Harper as your partner? And Stephen Amell responded positively about former Arsenal, saying, I miss Colton Haynes' handsome face every single day. So the fan asked him another one straight up bluntly, is he going to come back? And Amell had a bold response that made no answer or no attempt to mask his opinion on the matter. It says, if we end this show, whenever it happens to end, without seeing Roy Harper again, I think it will be, I think we will have made a tragic mistake.
And I think they would have made a tragic mistake. They need to bring him back.
Yeah.
I'm hoping. I was hoping we could get him for the Titan show.
Well, the writers didn't write him off the show on their own.
He did that.
He had made the decision. He had, some issues.
Yeah.
And had to get some help. And so he told them, hey, I cannot stay on the show. They've got him some help. He's got got things figured out, and we may be able to see him back, even if it's just a couple of times.
Yeah, I would say, seeing what's going on in social media, you never know, but it seems like he's doing really well. So I'm hoping he can make an appearance on the show a couple of times.
Yeah.
Even if we get him for one episode, that'll be fine. I hope he can come back more than that, but we need to see him in that red hood again.
Yeah, or like you said, possibly seeing him in the Titans show.
We need Wally.
We have a long time. Titans is the end of 2018.
They don't need to cast some people. We already got them on the show.
So yeah, but they're calling over late 2018 for that.
Mm-hmm. So they got some time. There's a lot of time to be built up.
Mm-hmm.
Next
up, we get over to some Gotham news.
Yes. I've been playing Injustice like crazy, so this is a character I've been seeing pop up every time. Once again, at the Hero and Villain Fan Fest in Nashville. Now, they were interviewing... the young Bruce Wayne actor.
It's David Mazouz.
David Mazouz. There we go. That's why I probably don't remember
Mazouz.
His name.
That's it. Yeah.
Scarecrow comes back for season 4. Bruce Wayne actor said, it's a full blast. I'm really exciting. They teased a fan be saying. Do you see a little spelling error right here?
Where?
Pal tease fans be saying.
Oh. Well,
I think that was a little typo there. It's super creepy, too. You're going to love it. Reports surfaced earlier this summer about Scarecrow's comic book or comeback. Back in June, DC Entertainment shared a video containing an interview from Gotham's Ben McKenzie, lit a teaser for the villain's slip. Whoops. There are some villains that had was a fan for him and was hoping he'd come back for season 4. McKenzie said, I've always been keen on Scarecrow. It would be nice if Scarecrow showed up. Seeing McKenzie's sly grin when she said that, the fan began to speculate Scarecrow would make a full comeback in Gotham season 4. The show previously set up a villain for a past storyline, introduced Dr. Gerald Crane, a twisted father of Scarecrow's Jonathan Crane. The episode titled Scarecrow, followed up by followed by the father injecting his son with a so-called cure for the fear, but the serum turns Jonathan insane instead, and plagued with the vision of terrifying Scarecrow, Jonathan goes AWOL and hasn't been seen since. Till next season. And that was one of my favorite episodes, actually.
Yeah.
But that was for season two, right?
One of the few seasons episodes you actually saw.
Mm-hmm.
You need to go back and watch all of them now that you see where they're at.
They're going and where they're at now, because there was just so much confusion going on there I didn't really
but
agree with.
Like I said from the beginning, this is a Batman Elseworld, or this is an Elseworld story for Gotham.
And this is why I'm going to bring it up as an Elseworlds too, because it also says Gotham wasn't able to keep its whacked out villain away for too long. The Scarecrow will return, and yet another baddie of Gotham for Gotham will come into the stories. Characters such as Catwoman, Harley Quinn, and even Joker
are continue to be referenced in the series. So yes, we've not seen them yet. Although the actress who plays Selina Kyle, I didn't pull the story on here, but she was talking about how we should actually see Catwoman by the end of this season.
Okay. Well, it's her...
the full-on Catwoman.
With her playing with that whip in the last episode.
Yeah, we saw she got her whip. She had her Catwoman origin where she got shoved out the window
and
the
cats
revived her.
On her, just like Michelle Pfeiffer did in Batman Returns. Great movie. Oh, my goodness. That was one of the best Batman films ever. Now, that's something my mom...
See, I like the original Batman more than Batman Returns.
See, my mom's over there. Every Christmas, we would watch the... what was that? Batman Returns? I think I was a little too young to be watching some of that.
Well,
it was Christmas time, you know. And also with the Batman animated series with Selina Kyle, it just went right in hand with hand in hand with each other.
Oh yeah.
So I can't wait for Gotham season 4. I can't believe I'm saying that. I was a big hater of the show, but with the characters coming more into what they are in season 4, Bruce is getting older, Selina's getting older, Scarecrow's getting older. They're all getting of age. So if we see a young Batman even in his 20s, I'd be okay with that.
I think we're gonna see it way before his 20s even.
If you guys played Arkham Origins, I know a lot of people don't like to talk about that game. I think that's going to take a similar route, to be honest with you.
I would not be surprised. The way they're going right now in Gotham, I would not be surprised to see the cape and cowl by the end of the season.
Yeah, same here.
I'm not a fan of that.
I'm not either.
I don't like putting him as Batman, because at this point, Bruce looks like he's probably 13, 14.
See, for me, he looks older.
I think that's because the actor's older.
Yeah, he is.
You got to think, the first season of Gotham, we're in season 3, we're getting ready to go to season 4.
Yeah.
The first season, he was 10 to 12, somewhere in there. But so he's got to be almost 15 now.
Yeah, well, I was on Instagram on social media, and I was looking through his pictures, and I'm like, wait a minute. This kid doesn't look 10 anymore.
No.
I'll say they need to hurry the season up, because
he's definitely growing up.
He's going to look like he's 18 in no time, and he might have a full-on beard by then, so...
Yeah.
And look at this, just as we're speaking, look what's popping up on my screen.
Uh-huh.
So, that's good Gotham news, and anything else that comes up, we'll report to you guys.
Well, we got another, we got some news out of Flash, and this one I'm all excited about.
I'm going to let you get this, because I had no idea who this guy was. I had to read this article, figure it out, and everything sounds good.
Flash has added a new writer to the writer's room. They've brought in comic writer Sterling Gates to join the writing staff for season 4. Now, Sterling Gates sounds possibly familiar. You may know him from things such as Supergirl. Let me see some of the other ones they have on here. The Supergirl, The Adventures of Supergirl, and Justice League of America's Vibe. I guess they had a Vibe series that he ran. Which is awesome, since Vibe is actually an integral character of the Flash series.
Now, I was going to say, that's when this New 52 run, right?
I think the New 52 and the old everything right before Flashpoint, also he was working.
Okay.
But I guess he's a longtime friend of DC Chief Creative Officer Geoff Johns. Which, since that doesn't hurt his chances on anything.
Oh, no, and if he's been a longtime friend of him, I'm pretty sure they worked on some comic books together. If not, even name being mentioned there, they can talk to one another, ask some tips. Well, it seemed like that might be what happening for the show, since Geoff Johns is like the head up there.
Yeah. Well, also, they said the Justice League of America's Vibe series was actually what they... that's the one they said that a lot of people said they based Cisco...
Yeah.
On that Vibe, that version of Vibe.
Yeah, for the Justice League of America, I don't know a whole bunch in my memory banks I'm trying to pull back. I like the Justice League of America team for New 52 better than I did the actual Justice League team.
Okay.
We got Martian Manhunter, we got Steve Trevor, Catwoman, Vibe, Hawkman. Also, Simon Baz, Green Lantern, was on that team too.
Oh, cool.
And Katana and Stargirl.
Okay.
So it was a really nice Justice League of America team. That team was jam-packed.
Well, this isn't the first time. Now, Gates is known for his comic book writing.
Mm-hmm.
But this is not the first time he's worked on bringing comic book characters to the TV screen. He was actually on the writing staff for the 2006 Blade series, which I actually enjoyed the Blade series. It wasn't as good as the movies.
No.
And it was fun.
As a story, it was good. I remember renting it. But it just, I feel like people seeing Wesley Snipes on screen for so long as that character.
Yeah, I had a hard time accepting the new guy as Blade.
Same thing as when Ben Affleck started to play Batman. People were so used to seeing Christian Bale or even, heck, Christopher Reeves.
Yeah.
Christopher Reeves
was never Batman.
No, I'm talking about for Superman. Just
okay.
You get another actor playing the same role, but it's a different actor playing that. People are so used to seeing the previous one, they don't want to even take in that there might be somebody playing it. But it was pretty good.
Well, that was 06, but and more recently...
That was 06, man.
That's when the Blade series was, yeah. But more recently, he actually, last season, wrote the Mr. and Mrs. Mixyes Pytlick episode for Supergirl.
And he started to work with Supergirl again on screen.
Exactly. So, I'm excited about this because Gates, like Geoff Johns, is a comic book fan and a comic book writer, mm-hmm. writing comic book television.
You can't get any better than that. Nothing can go wrong.
There's nothing but win written all over this.
And this is why DC's killing it in TV right now.
That's right. So, the next one... you want me to get that one, or you want to?
I have it here. Just got to click on it. Justice League.
Oh wait, why did I jump to that? No, I went to the Justice League story. Yeah, we have some Justice League news for a movie, kinda. Or is this a movie?
No,
or
it's
a TV
not a movie.
Series?
It's a series. They don't even say TV series.
Yeah,
this could be something we stream. I don't.
Yeah,
even
well,
know.
One, it will be streaming here eventually,
but
it's not coming here to start with.
Now, if there's any fans out there that's listening to us, if you're a comic book fan. If you're an anime fan, this is going to fall right in for you because this is an anime and comic book crossover, so get excited. I'm quoting the article, guys. DC Comics Justice League anime Eagle Talon Society is teaming up to stop the Joker in an upcoming DC Superheroes versus Eagle Talon. The film's production company, DLE Inc., released the teaser for the English subtitle on Thursday. Translated by Anime News Network, DLE Inc., film synopsis not only presents a compelling story, but also has a lighthearted nod to the film's budget and licensing costs of the DC character. The Joker has come to Japan to steal Eagle Talon Society's secret weapon in its continuous stream of pure chaos. However, the Justice League is on trial, but there's something off with Batman. Now it's up to Eagle Talon to go find out what's wrong with Batman, and this means to go back in time to Bruce Wayne's most traumatic experience, the murder of his parents. If it wasn't enough to worry about, the Eagle Talon Society also have to keep their eyes on a production budget, especially with the most of the money that are going towards the licensing fee for DC's popular character. Will Eagle Talon Society and the Justice League be able to stop the Joker before their budget dries up and they're reduced to simple stick figures? That would suck.
Yeah.
So that's... See, I still don't really know what's going to happen in this, really, what's going to... I don't know.
Well, actually, this is a movie because it says the film actually opens in Japan on October 21st.
Huh. But it says series in the title here.
Yeah. So,
Okay.
I'm looking at some of the other stuff, and the rest is just stuff about who these characters are.
Yeah, which anybody that's listening to this are DC fans, so you know who Cyborg, Aquaman, The Flash, Batman, and Wonder Woman are. I do not see...
Oh. You don't see what?
Oh, wait a minute. Oh, that goes into the movie. Wait a minute. Oh. That... I was reading further ahead to see what the synopsis was for something else.
Yeah.
That's about the Justice League film that's coming out. So
I know a lot of our friends are anime fans. I think they're gonna love this.
A lot of my friends are anime fans, so this will be something they're gonna be into. I haven't seen the only anime style Batman or DC anything I've remember
there was a
is
Batman
the Batman.
One, I believe there's a Batman manga. I know.
Yeah, but the film I'm thinking of, it was literally like a Batman 6-part story, and it was all done like an anime style.
Okay.
Gotham Knight, I want to say that is.
Yes, Gotham Knights. That was actually one of the first DC animated movies
films,
ever put out.
And it was really, really good. That came on Toonami. I think that was the first time I seen that.
Yeah,
I had to buy it. Yeah, I believe it's actually on CWC now. Okay. So, us talking about this, I'm either watching Batman Returns tonight or watching Gotham Knights.
Yeah. Well, next up, DC Comics is actually, DC Animated has announced what their next animated feature is going to be after Batman and Harley Quinn.
Mm.
We're actually finally getting an Elseworlds story. We're getting Gotham by Gaslight being brought to the small screen as on DVD. Now, Gotham by Gaslight was a story that was originally released in 1989. It was an Elseworlds story by Brian Augustin. It was drawn by Mike Mignola from Hellboy.
Mm.
And inked by P. Craig Russell. Now, it reimagines... Now, remember, all the Elseworlds stories is you take the standard DC characters and drop them in a totally new setting.
Right, that's what Elseworlds...
Well, Gotham by Gaslight reimagines Batman as a Victorian-era vigilante detective investigating the serial killer Jack the Ripper.
I was going to bring up... You told me this, but I'll let you continue. But shout out to our friend Spike.
Yes. Our buddy Spike actually does a great... Joker from the Gotham by Gaslight, in the style of Gotham by Gaslight.
Yeah, with the skull.
Oh, yeah. He does a great cosplay of that.
The everything he's got down packed. I think the first time I saw him was
it was one of the Odd Malls.
No, was it Odd Mall?
Or was it Con of the Cob?
I think for me, I seen him at the Arkham Knight opening for GameStop.
Oh, okay.
They had some cosplayers out there, and he was cosplaying as the Joker. And I started talking to him, and then we seen him at Con the Cob and everywhere else. And I seen him there before, and I told him, oh, I didn't know that's what you look like with makeup and without makeup. that was the first time I met him. He was a real cool guy. Anybody that's willing to stay out at, I think it was 12 o'clock was the opening, and Joker cosplay are dedicated.
Yeah.
So,
especially walking around barefoot.
Yeah. Good thing it was summertime.
Yeah. Well... they have the official synopsis for the movie here. It says, in an age of mystery and superstition, how would the people of Gotham react to a weird creature of the night, a bat-garbed vigilante, feared by the guilty and the innocent alike? The very first Elseworlds tale reimagines the Dark Knight detective in Victorian times and pits him against the infamous murderer Jack the Ripper. Now, this was actually popular enough, because it says here, this was the first Elseworlds story. And it actually spawned a sequel, Master of the Future, which was also written by Augustin, but it was drawn by Eduardo Barreto. So it says its greater legacy was the Elseworlds concept. Though Gotham by Gaslight was not originally called an Elseworlds story, it led to a long line of similar reimaginings of DC Comics characters and their universe that would eventually be added to the DC Comics universe. These stories were labeled Elseworlds Tales, or were labeled as Elseworlds Tales, a label retroactively added to Gotham by Gaslight. Now, to see a sneak peek of the Gotham by Gaslight animated movie, you got to check out the home video release of Batman and Harley Quinn on August 29th. So it looks like they're going to actually put it, like I said, the sneak peek on with Batman and Harley, which they usually do. If you look, the last one that came out was the Teen Titans Judas Contract.
And then that's when we started.
And you get a Batman and Harley sneak peek on that.
And they've been doing that, I think, since they started. Mm-hmm. Sometimes you get two different features. One movie coming out and they were pumping them out like crazy.
Yeah. So this one looks like it's going to be awesome. I didn't realize that... I thought the Elseworlds went farther back than that. But there was a while where most of your annuals, if you got an annual, each time you got an annual, it was a... it was probably one of the Elseworlds story.
Okay.
A lot of the annuals were Elseworlds.
Okay. I don't really remember any of that. The annuals I know of now seem like they take place in the universe, in the current universe.
Yeah. So next up, we actually, I believe, that's Comic-Con. The next one, we actually get into some comics news, and actually the first two stories you have, and they're the first one I know you're all excited about. And this is one we talked about earlier this season. Earlier this year, we heard that we're going to have an Archie Batman crossover at some point. Now we know what it's going to look like.
Mm-hmm. Now I'm trying to pull. I got everything pulled up here.
Yeah, that other story that we keep bumping down is going to keeps being the next one on the list.
Let's see. So we're going to Archie right now, right?
Mm-hmm.
All right, let me pull this up. My tabs are a little switched up there.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, this is Gotham and Riverdale. It's so weird to see anything Archie fit. You know there's an Archie and Predator crossover?
Okay, that's a little weird.
Archie will do some team-ups with the most oddest characters. But here's your first glance. This was from Entertainment Weekly. Riverdale and Gotham City don't appear to have a lot in common, where they're foremost preoccupied with high school drama, which all teenagers really are. The letter has no worry about psychotic clowns getting chased around by people dressed as bats. One thing they do share, however, is a resident pair of ass-kicking girlfriends. EW can exclusively reveal that these two duels will unite in the fall in the 6-issue crossover miniseries Harley and Ivy Meet Betty and Veronica. Well, that's going to be a very interesting topic right there. Mm-hmm. The series will be co-written by, I cannot get this guy, was it Mark what?
Andrico. Mark Andrico.
Now it sounds familiar. And Paul Dini. Anytime Paul Dini's on anything with Harley Quinn, it's going to be amazing. Still, once again, I'm going to say, since Paul Dini wasn't on the last video game of Arkham Knight, I feel like that's why the story was a little off. Dini did the first two, and when he wasn't there, you can definitely tell he was not there. Dini originally created Harley Quinn, Batman anime series. This is most stuff you guys know. And made a flurry friendship with Poison Ivy. The new series will find them putting their girl power against Riverdale's most famous pair. This imagines to drain the Westlands between Gotham and Riverdale. Ivy sticks up for her beloved. What? What is that? Her beloved. Never even heard of that.
Fauna.
What is that?
Fauna is a way of saying plants.
Okay, I did not know that. By enlisting Harley Quinn to kidnap valuable Victoria Lodge. There you go. And her best friend Betty.
Veronica chaos, Lodge.
For many, assumed to take over. Now, from some of the books I know, they're best friends, but then they're enemies because they're fighting over Archie. And then again, they're best friends again.
I've never really read Archie much.
I like Archie. I got a couple books. But yeah, I have seen them as friends too. This is going to be an interesting book here. Now, you got Harley Quinn and Poison Ivy fighting over Archie, and then Betty and Veronica are just stuck over there.
Mm-hmm.
I want to see an appearance from Bruce Wayne. We don't have to see Batman, but I need Bruce Wayne to pop in there somewhere.
Yeah. Well, you never know. You might actually see Batman in this, too.
Yeah. That would be fine with me. But I don't know. I feel like having the Playboy billionaire come in there and let Veronica and Betty have a crush on him.
I
don't know. I hope that might happen. They just haven't said yet, but that's all we got from this guy, is that they will be crossing over. And for right now, I'll put a cover of this up, too. And I didn't pay attention. There's a skull in here, too, in the picture.
Yes, in the background.
Mm-hmm.
Now, does this say when this is actually coming?
October 4th.
Okay. Well, I know this one's gonna be on your pull list, probably.
Oh, yeah. I still have to buy the Archie Volume 2. It happened so fast, I wouldn't even be able to get a single trade, so...
Yeah.
This will be pretty interesting. This will be a more, I think, of a lighthearted story for any DC or Gotham fans out there.
Okay.
Don't gotta worry about people going crazy trying to kill each other.
Yeah.
Well...
Well, we'll find out.
Yeah. But that was for the Harley Quinn and Ivy. Now, what next are we going to go here? Because
my
list is a little topsy-turvy right now.
Another new story coming, or a new comic coming, is... Batman White Knight is also coming October 4th.
Now, this is something I'm really excited for. This sounds crazy.
Well, yeah, anytime you get Joker in there, it's crazy, but especially when you flip
really
the script.
Joker's not really insane anymore. Yeah.
Joker's never been sane.
No. Now, this is... Let me get up here. Superstar writer Sean Gordon Murphy brings us a tale of a twisted Gotham, 7-issue miniseries, and a massive cast of heroes and villains. Batman, the White Knight, is told in an epic scale, but the heart of its tragic story of a hero and villain, the Batman and the Joker. The question is, which one is the hero and which one's the villain? The Joker has been called a maniac, a killer, the clown prince of crime, but the White Knight? Never. Not until now. We know the Joker is a genius, we know he's relentless, and we know he can play to the crowd. So, why not make him a politician? This is what Murphy said. Why not strip away his psychotic tendencies and the things that hold him back and let him challenge Batman?
Unimpeded.
Unimpeded. This is going to be interesting. It sounds a little bit like what they did with Harvey Dent when he got cured.
Okay.
And to make it even scarier, what if he did it legally and without breaking any rules, so Batman couldn't stop him? Now that's scary.
Yeah,
set in a world
sounds kind of like when they had Lex Luthor running and actually won the presidency.
Or even there, you guys said
Harvey Dent. That's actually better because he had a bigger scale to go on. Now, this is set in a world where Joker is cured from his insanity and his homicidal tendencies. The Joker is known as Jack. And if anybody remembers that name...
That, I think the first time you ever heard him called Jack was from the first Batman TV or movie from 1989.
Yeah, that was with Jack Nicholson. Mm-hmm. And you know, every time
Jack Napier there.
You know, every time Jack Nicholson was playing a role like this, he changed the character's name to Jack somewhere.
Well, the interesting thing is, everybody thinks they know a general idea of what made the Joker, but they've never, as far as I know, DC has never actually given a true. This is the origin of Joker, because every time the Joker tells the story,
it's something
different.
And
every time someone else finds out what it is, it's different.
Right.
There is no definitive, this is what caused, created the Joker.
The one we thought
was
supposed
to be. Or who he was, or who he is, or anything else.
Was the Killing Joke, but that still wasn't proven to be a fact.
No.
But it sets about him trying to right his wrongs, first by re-counseling with Harley Quinn. Okay. And then trying to save Gotham City from one person that he thinks is truly Gotham's greatest villain, the Batman. Huh. Seeing Gotham for the first time with clear eyes, his psychosis is now cured. He starts to understand the vigilantism.
The absurdity of vigilantism,
how Batman's actions are only contributing to Gotham's endless crime cycle, said Murphy. The Joker is set to beat Batman to become the White Knight that Gotham really needs. And that's been, I don't know what book it was, but it was something where Superman even tried to help Batman take down a lot of the villains in Gotham, and they found out the more they do that, the more villains are going to come about. Mm-hmm. So it's like this is a never-ending circle. You can't really stop them by dressing as a bat and going out into town.
If you look at the actual history of Batman, the way they've always played it off was that there was always crime in Gotham. But until Batman hit the scene, you didn't have the over-the-top supervillains.
No. There was like the guys stealing a purse or robbing a bank or robbing a little store, taking somebody's wallet.
Mm-hmm.
But once Batman got on scene, you... Remember, now, I don't know if this is, like we said, the actual story, but from Under the Red Hood... In the Killing Joke and in several different adaptations we've seen, the Joker is Joker because of Batman. If Batman was not there that night, he would have not fallen into those ace chemicals and became the Joker as we know it.
Well, that's, if you...
That was even in the movie, the first Tim Burton film.
Yeah. That's if you see that origin for Joker.
Yeah. And the video game that was on. But we're usually looking through Joker's eyes.
Yeah.
Well, no. No, actually, in Batman Under the Red Hood, the animated film, that was actually through Batman's eyes.
Mm-hmm.
He scared the Joker so bad with the hood on, he tripped over his own cape and went tumbling.
Exactly.
But it's been a couple different ways of how that happened, but that's the way Batman saw it there. And who knows, they might even touch more on it in this series.
So this actually comes, like I said, October 4th. Written and illustrated by Sean Murphy.
Another October 4th series.
Oh, yeah. So
that's Batman. Being featured.
Then we had one more comic, but this is actually going to digital. We don't talk about digital comics much.
No.
I know we do have another... there's a new Bombshells series coming in August.
Is there really?
Yes, because Bombshells ended their run at 100 issues.
Mm-hmm. You told me about that.
And then they have a new one coming. I don't remember. I got to get the details to talk about it because I'm looking forward to it. Bombshells has been a fantastic series.
Oh, yeah. You're the point. I've heard everything about this. I've seen it on the internet, but you're the person I actually know that's been giving this praise. And from what you showed me, it's a good, great concept.
Oh, yeah. That's been consistent all the way through, too. So, I mean, even some of the stories is like, what are we... Okay, that's... And it's still cool.
Yeah.
And some of the characters were surprising, the ones they brought in.
And obviously, it's got a lot of good fan base for it, because there's toys, there's pop vinyls popping up out of nowhere.
This was a series... created basically to sell the toys and the vinyls and all of that type of stuff. Mm. This was actually created to sell the line of DC Bombshells merchandise.
I did not know that.
Yeah.
Oh,
that's why it went straight to digital to start with. Okay. And it ended up taking on, I think it was even more popular than they expected it to be.
That happens.
So
that happens a lot.
But the digital comic we're talking about now is actually we're getting, because we got the new movie, Batman and Harley Quinn coming, we're getting a Harley Quinn and Batman digital series prequel to the movie. This is coming out the Batman and Harley Quinn comes the end of August, but we're getting a Harley Quinn and Batman digital first comic series. It's a 5-issue prequel adventure by writer Ty Templeton and artist Rick Burchett. And Ty Templeton was actually one of the writers on Batman the Animated Series also. But it says, according to Templeton, Batman and Harley, Joker and Ivy, Nightwing and Catwoman. Is there a better cast of characters anywhere in fiction? I spent some of the best years of my career working with these icons and could not be happier to be returning to Gotham City and their adventures. And to top it off, I get to work with the incomparable Rick Burchell. Again, pinch me, I'm dreaming. We're getting the band back together. Now it says Harley is a Joker, or Harley is a legend in her own mind. So when she realizes the Joker thinks of her as a sidekick, she takes her revenge. Harley's now faced with the hard decision to break out on her own as a supervillain, and she's willing to go for it. Now,
Is Paul Dini writing this?
No, this was Ty Templeton writing this.
Okay. I can see the era that they're taking this from. Mm-hmm. I can see Joker still thinking of Harley Quinn as a sidekick.
Well, this was... It said Ty was actually a writer from the animated series, and this actually is a prequel to the Batman and Harley Quinn movie.
Okay.
So, It says, I spent quite a few years with these characters in this art style, says Burchett, their artist for this.
Mm-hmm.
It's like visiting old friends. For me, though, the best part is having the opportunity to work with Ty Templeton again. It's been way too long. Now, the digital series launches on Monday, July 31st, with 5 chapters being released every other week or biweekly. But wait, there's a sequel.
There's more.
Beginning in October, 7 sequel chapters will be released digitally each week. And to make it extra crazy, we flip the names. Batman and Harley Quinn is a collection of the stories tied to the events of the film. These chapters will feature stories by Jeff Parker, Craig Russo, Luciano Vecchio, Amanda Diebert, David Hahn, Dario Brizuela, David Dow Smith, Sandy Jarrell, and Ty Templeton, and more. All 12 chapters, the prequels and the sequels, will be collected into a trade paperback for summer of 2018. But the digital chapters will be available for download beginning July 31st through the DC Comics app readdcentertainment.com, iBooks, Comixology.com, Google Play, Kindle Store, and the Nook Store. So anywhere you can buy digital comics, these will be available as of July 31st.
We got a lot of Gotham stuff coming out of October.
They're all about Batman right now.
That's cool.
But we're not just all about Batman.
No.
We got Comic-Con coming up in like 2 weeks.
We do. Now, I want to touch on this before we go too much further.
Yeah. We're going to go through the panel list here a little bit in a minute, but this is something that's going to happen at Comic-Con. Now, do you watch Vikings at all?
No.
So you didn't know who Catherine Winnick was?
No.
Anybody who's a fan of Vikings, you know Catherine Winnick. She's Lagatha on Vikings. She's the original main character, Ragnar's original wife.
Okay.
And she is the probably the strongest warrior on the entire series.
Hmm.
She's basically everything you think of a Viking warrior woman.
Yeah,
this is her.
Okay.
She's the chief shield maiden. She's the one that teaches shield maidens how to be shield maidens.
You notice it sounds a lot like the character she wants to be.
Exactly. Now, she's been teasing for a while that she wants to play the character of
Black Canary.
Black Canary somewhere.
Now, then we touch on this, I want to say, last year.
Possibly, because she's been saying, for a while, she's been saying she wants to do something, but...
Yeah, first let me go on her Twitter. She tweeted out something, working on a secret project that will be announced at San Diego Comic-Con. Black Canary? Now, this was July 8th, she posted this.
Actually, that wasn't her. That was DC Extended Universe put that
Oh, and
up.
They tagged her in there.
So they tagged her on it. So there's something coming up. I don't know. We don't know if this is... now, it doesn't say anything else other than that.
Yeah.
So everybody's speculating, okay, is this going to be a movie character? Is it possibly something from the DCEU, which is the movie universe?
Right.
Possibly either Dinah Lance, Black Canary is what they're saying.
It would be real nice if we could get a cast for a black canary in an upcoming movie, maybe.
Well, we got Gotham City Sirens is coming.
Right.
We don't know who's going to be in that at all.
Right.
We know the three that are possibly villain, hero, we don't know.
Mm-hmm.
With Catwoman, Ivy, and
Harley Quinn.
Yeah.
We have a Batgirl movie been announced.
Now, with Batgirl being there.
We have a Batman movie been announced.
Yeah. Now, I doubt that Batman will, or she'll pop up in a Batman movie. It just doesn't really make sense to just put a Black Canary in there
right
now.
We have two Justice League movies coming.
We do. We may be able to see her in a Batgirl movie for the Birds of Prey.
Possibly.
Or we could get her in the Justice League, maybe a little mention. Who knows? But I would like to see her. I never seen Vikings, but from looking at the actress, she looks like she would be a great.
That is a show you need to go back and watch.
I haven't even started. It's hard for me getting some shows like that, though.
Now, they do have a list. At the end of this, they have a list of what movies are confirmed for when. And so it's like, you got to wonder, what could she possibly be in? Because Wonder Woman's in theaters now. Mm-hmm. Justice League comes this November. Mm-hmm. Aquaman is July 27th, 2018. We still have Shazam on the schedule for August of, or April of 2019. Justice League 2 in June of 2019. Cyborg is still officially on the list for April 2020. Green Lantern Corps for July of 2020. And then there's still The Flash, The Batman, a Dark Universe movie, and Man of Steel 2 with no release dates, but they're still supposed to be in the works.
Why is Man of Steel 2
and a Wonder Woman 2. There's a Wonder Woman 2 in the works also. So, but
how much
better
Wonder Woman 2 comes out before Man of Steel 2?
Probably. but what's the chances of actually one that this might fit into would be a Dark Universe movie could be. She could actually work on a Dark Universe story.
She could. She could. Do you think they might not even cast her as Black Canary at all? I think they're just, like, teasing
that.
Yeah,
they're teasing Black Canary, but that doesn't mean...
It could be a completely different character.
You have no idea.
Well, she's our Batgirl.
I don't see it, but that'd be interesting, because she could already kick butt.
Yeah.
Who knows? But
very excited
since
for
we're on Comic-Con, the complete listing of the schedule is out. Now, we're not going to look at everything
there, because there's so much in
but
this article.
Let's start. Did you look through the list yet?
I looked through the list, but
let's
I can't tell you every single
pick
thing.
Pick out some of the ones that, as you go, actually look through the list one at a time. We'll just pick out the ones that actually look strong to,
the ones
like,
that
really
stand
cool.
out.
There's, on Thursday, you have, now, we're not going to tell you the descriptions of all these, but all the ones that have DC in the title or whatever, I'll at least mention what they are. Thursday at 10 a.m., there's a whole list of panels coming. Your DC Collectibles panel is that DC Icons, Blockbuster YA authors meet iconic DC superheroes is also at 10 a.m. Remember, Wednesday night, we have the, on preview night, is the DC screenings also.
Okay.
We get the Krypton premiere. Are we getting Black Lightning that night also? I don't remember. It's not on this
know.
List.
Yeah, that's what I'm looking
we
for.
We talked about it on last week's show.
Oh, I can't remember. A week ago?
Yeah. Well, at 10 a.m. on Thursday is when, like I said, the panels are starting up. You got your DC Collectibles, the DC Icons. There's a Jack Kirby panel in there. Jack Kirby's Consciousness.
About that Jack Kirby.
Let's see. Where Teen Titans Go panel is at that point. And then moving on to 10:15
11 a.m. we have Batman animated podcast live.
Yeah, that's we may have to get a hold of those guys and see how. I've never actually listened to that one. I'm gonna have to listen to that one.
I gotta subscribe to.
So it's our brothers in the multiverse.
Yeah, and they anything with Batman.
And the one I had to mention on Geekwatch 1 and stuff that actually caught my attention was the at 11 a.m. Also, it's not DC Comics, but Anything Goes with John Barrowman. Actually, it is DC because he's Merlin.
Yeah.
Now, anybody who doesn't know about John Barrowman,
honestly, how many questions do you think he's going to get? Are you still alive in the show?
When John Barrowman says anything goes on this, it is anything goes. You never know what he's going to do. I think they said he was on a Torchwood panel at Dragon Con, and halfway through the panel, he dropped his pants. And then he got the guy who played Yanto to do it also for the rest of the panel with no pants on. So
it sounds like a night of 2D6 with me.
Yeah. And it says anything goes. There is a Q&A, and remember, John Barrowman will answer just about anything.
Well,
so that's an interesting one.
I want to Skype in just so I can ask him some questions.
Yeah. Let's see what else we got at 11 a.m. here. We got
11 a.m. I don't see
nothing
really
else jumping out
up
of me
until
yet.
11:30.
Then go down to what did we got at 11:30? Ah, DC All Access panel. This one will be interesting because if anybody's seen the DC All Access YouTube show, it's an awesome show. And they go up Monday through Friday about 5 to 10, maybe 15 minutes.
On the YouTube just so I can see
it. I need to watch more of it. I just don't have time half the time.
That's the reason I think I really subscribed was just because the hosts are so great. They tell you almost anything you need to know. And they interview the writers, they interview the producers, they interview the creators of a lot of different comic books, a lot of different TV shows. And we sometimes get a lot of, most time we get information on an up-and-coming project. They never spoil it for you, but they will give you a little bit of an inside tip and what to look out for. That's for 11:30. Let's see, is there anything else in the 11 hour?
At 12 we have a Jack Specific panel, which actually has DC Comics. It says join Jack Specific for a preview of all their upcoming figures, collectibles, and RC vehicles. They will be releasing in the coming months. Attendees will get exclusive first look at new items from Nintendo, DC Originals, Justice League, Marvel, and Star Wars. Following the preview, there will be a Q&A with members of the Jack Specific development team, and a special giveaway of their premium DC Originals Tribute Series figures. So that one's going to be fun for anybody who's in DC Collectibles.
You know, I wish I was there so I could collect.
Oh, yeah,
more.
You would be going nuts on that one.
Mm-hmm.
Let's go down to 12:30. We got the Justice League Action video presentation and Q&A.
They're done with first season, right?
Justice League Action, yes.
Okay.
And I actually just started watching I saw the first three episodes. They were awesome so far.
When I tried to watch them, the episodes said they were one, but then tried to be another. So I watched it, but I don't know if I watched it in order or not. More than likely not, but the show is great. I was going to say, from the 12:45, we get Spotlight on Jim Lee.
Oh, nice. How'd that one get past me?
I seen that Jim Lee name popped out.
Yeah.
Then what else do we got here?
Moving down, we get...
Now, here's another one for 1 o'clock. Alexander Simmons, Scooby-Doo to Sherlock, Batman to Blackjack, creating original iconic characters.
Okay.
Batman was mentioned.
What's the description on it? You just had it popped up, then you moved.
An author of comic plays, children's books, adventure novels, Alex Simmons guides to the audience through a process of writing, completing characters using his experience in both mainstream and the comic book industry. And also, technically, Scooby-Doo is a DC property, too.
Yeah.
So, that's going to be pretty interesting. I would have to just ask him how did they come up with the idea, if he knows anything about the whole Batman and Scooby-Doo crossover with Adam West, if he had any stories he heard around.
That would be cool to see how they went into that one. I know we're probably skipping a bunch of stuff as we go through. Next up that caught my eye was 2 o'clock. We get, hang on, as my computer starts acting up on me again.
All right, let me see if I can find
one. Okay, at 2 o'clock.
DC Meetup Publishers?
Yeah, the DC Meet the Publishers.
Oh, we also get ASC Sketch 2 Screen Bring Wonder Woman and Pirates and Planets and Apes to Life. They've posted some of those actually on DC. I don't know if I'm right if it's the same thing, but I have seen them when they get a character and they just take about 20 minutes drawing them out and just see how they do that, which is pretty cool. Let's see, what else do we have?
The next one, that Meet the Publishers panel, is actually Dan DiDio and Jim Lee.
Oh,
Jim Lee. For everybody who knows who they are, listen to our show. It's an up-close and personal panel that gives you unique access to the leaders of the fan-favorite comic book line.
Vertigo, Mad, DC's Young Animal, Dark Matter, and of course the DC Universe Rebirth. What else do we got? There's so much stuff.
They have a Teen Wolf panel. So they have Transformers versus G.I. Joe. Let's keep going. We have the DC Universe Original Movies 10th Anniversary.
Yes. Now that's something I wish I could go there. That's what got me into really getting into more of the DC and Young Justice, just the art, the great stories.
Well, it says here, 10 years, 30 films, 5 shorts, and innumerable fan favorite moments. The Warner Brothers Home Entertainment celebrates the decade of animation, DC Entertainment infused films, with an exciting panel in conjunction with the release of the DC Original Movies 10th Anniversary Collection. A comprehensive box set of the films, shorts, dazzling new enhanced content, and a few exclusive collectible items coming in fall of 2017. Lost it. There we go.
This name right here made me laugh a little bit.
There. Producers Bruce Timm and James Tucker and co-producer screenwriters Alan Burnett and Jim Krieg will lead a panel discussion that will include actors Kevin Conroy, Tara Strong, John DiMaggio, Vanessa Marshall, Christopher Gorham, and some very special guests. Moderator Gary Mierno will have some exclusive gifts for the most intelligent, inquisitive fans. So this is going to be all about the DC animated universe, pretty much.
And that's
which is going to be awesome.
I just have a big question. I mean, this, I guess, is me having a little bit of a little hater moment right here.
What?
When are we going to get away from the New 52 concept of these stories and get back to just the regular old comic adaptations of these? Because that's what got them to the level they're at now.
Well, the Teen Titans Juice contract was in the New 52 universe.
But it was set like the old...
The next two movies they've done, being Batman and Harley Quinn and Gotham by Gaslight, are not.
You know,
but they're also not part of
the main universe.
DC universe. There.
Yeah,
the DC animated universe they're creating, those two don't fit into.
Yeah. Now, if they keep making those movies, I'm okay with that. But also put in the Harley Quinn. I would like to see maybe a Constantine story, not in the DC universe. Just give us a regular old different art style, just something different. That was why I liked the other one so much. Every movie seemed to be a different artist doing the whole movie. I want to get back to that. But at 3:15, we have DC's Geoff Johns, superstar DC writer, president, chief creative officer. Geoff Johns is on all hands for all access and depth discussion with the program. Will give you insight on one of the genre's most influential people. So that'd be something I think everybody needs to go to.
Mm-hmm.
What else do we got here?
Anytime you can sit down and get a talk with one of the guys, especially the guys at that high level in DC Comics, is going to be awesome.
And at
4:15 is the next one I've got popped up, and it's actually the Batman Mask of the Phantasm remastered and ready for Blu-ray. If I remember right, this year is the 20th anniversary of Mask of the Phantasm.
Do you remember the first time where you were at the first time?
I saw it in theaters.
I'd tell you and see it at theaters. I was in my grandparents' house watching it with my grandpa.
Yeah. This was actually
Grandma would walk through and see a little bit, so I really watched that with my grandparents.
Mask of the Phantasm was actually based in the animated universe, DC, or the Batman animated universe, but it was actually a release to theater film.
Yep.
And this year it actually celebrates the 25th anniversary of Batman the Animated Series with a look back at the animated theatrical release of Batman the Mask of the Phantasm, which is coming to Blu-ray this year.
I think I have to pick that up.
Oh, yeah. Well, this panel actually has Bruce Timm and Eric Radomski, which are the producers. And then also, Kevin Conroy is going to be there. Co-screenwriter Alan Burnett and Warner Archive podcast host D.W. Ferranti. Ferranti. And Matthew Patterson to offer a glimpse at the remastered footage and discuss the creation of this beloved thriller.
Hmm.
So what's the next one you have on your list? This is still Thursday, guys.
I didn't see anything else after that, to be honest. Not from D.C.
Okay. Wait. Am I still in the right... Yeah, I'm in the right area. Rob Liefeld's going to have some stuff. D.C. Art Masters, Drawing D.C., is coming up at 5.
Oh, man. This is later on tonight. I found something else, though.
Okay. What do you got?
Okay. I was going to say, this is for 7 o'clock. Wait a minute.
What? What'd you... Ah, here we go. Oh, there's a DC trivia contest at 6.
Oh, sorry. I saw something else. Okay. So at 7 p.m., there's a DC Comics Ghost Steampunk.
Okay.
There's
a Star Wars one like that, too. I think there's a whole steampunk
track. Probably weird, but I haven't seen a lot of cosplays of Star Wars steampunk.
If you check Dragon Con, a lot of the other ones.
Okay.
I've even seen there's a couple of steampunk R2-D2s running around.
I'm going to have to look this
which
up.
Which, instead of the white metal panels, they have the actual wood panels.
Huh. Okay. Oh, I got
and
really
stuff like
check that.
That
out. Taking a mashup of Next Level, you'll learn how... I'm not going to read all this, but I'm just going to give you guys a little rundown. Take your favorite DC comic heroes and villains and transform them into steampunk fan art and costumes. This panel will have everything you need to know to get your Aquaman, Zatanna mashups put together. So, you know, if you know anything about steampunk, you understand what we're getting at here with steampunk Aquaman or steampunk Catwoman.
Oh, yeah.
All these sound pretty cool. Is that it?
I'm down to 10 o'clock. I wonder what this one is.
Oh, I'm only on 8 if you're not seeing anything.
Yeah, I'm looking as we go. So that may be the end of Thursday. And they have stuff scheduled all the way through 11, 12 o'clock at night. But then we kick into Friday, July 21st.
Do you just want to pick the ones that stand out to us?
That's what we've been doing for the last one, too.
I was going to say, for me, I see iZombie for 11:15 a.m.
Okay. I didn't get that far down yet. we're literally scanning the list to see what
so
we got. Well, we have a...
this show would last like 2 hours.
Go back to 10 o'clock. We have a Young Justice Q&A.
There we go. And we talked about last time.
Yeah.
They were going to be there. So we did iZombie.
What else we got? Hasbro, Marvel, 11 a.m. You had the iZombie. We got... What? Wait a minute.
See something there? Well, now this is a lot.
Ah, this one, unless you didn't... this one's Diana's sister, Protagonists.
Hmm.
How do fictional feminists fictional feminist narratives inform and inspire? The future is female, as reflected in the Women's March, the new Wonder Woman feature film, and a slew of best-selling authors writing empowering stories to women in charge. Mary Elizabeth Yturdo leads the conversation with Kristen White. I'm going to butcher these names. Nnedi Okorafor, Sarah Tarkoff, Lori Forrest, Gregory Scott Katsoulis, and Dana Fredsty.
Hmm.
So, and that's at 11 a.m. We have past there. Let's go, 11:15. 11:15, you have the DC Universe Rebirth panel.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't say who's going to be on it, but you can expect Geoff Johns and some of those guys will be on it, probably in that one. 11:15 is also your iZombie that you brought up. Moving on down the list, we got... There's a Hey Arnold panel.
Yeah, I looked at that. That stood out.
That one's still out there?
No, but...
Well, no, that means there's still enough fans out there that they're doing a panel?
Of course. All 90s kids that watched Nickelodeon.
Yeah.
Well, now for 145, we just a little bit down there, but we do have DC's Dark Knights Metal and Dark Matter.
Okay.
So you get behind... the team behind the Dark Knight Metal series with Scott Snyder. I'm trying to see what else we got here. Like I say, guys, there's so much stuff.
Oh, yeah, there's so many panels. It's like I said on the other shows that we've done this week with Wookiee Radio and GW Geek Watch 1, I'm kind of glad I'm not going to Comic-Con because I don't know what I would watch. Or
my
what
brain
would
just be...
You would be. I would be disappointed because I'd miss too much.
Now, this is a couple hours later, but at 11:15, we do get DC...
That's PM, right?
PM, yes.
Okay.
DC from pages to screen. Never before has DC been more popular in TV. True. Video games, home videos, and movie theaters. This is basically going to be them showing the years that they took from comic books pages to the big screen or small screen.
Still looking through here. I'm still looking through Friday. There's at 4 p.m. you get the AMC's Preacher panel, Preacher's Vertigo.
Oh, yeah. Who's going to be on there? Is that going to be Seth Rogen?
Seth Rogen's going to be there. Garth Ennis will be there, who is the executive producer, and I believe he was the creator of Preacher, wasn't he, Garth Ennis?
Yeah. I think.
Also, the members of the cast, Dominic Cooper, mm-hmm. Ruth Negga, Joseph Gilgan, Ian Coletti and Graham McTavish.
I would say Seth and Dominic have been just anywhere they can to get the show out for season.
Well, I think we've had, the first two episodes are out already?
Yeah.
Which I've got to watch. I've not got a chance to see it yet.
I haven't watched episode two.
So, but moving on, we got, as we go through here.
Have you watched the show at all, actually?
Yeah, I saw the first season. The first season was all, I thought cool.
Is it Ashface? The dude with the...
Yes.
They said on set they wanted to make jokes and prank him, but then they saw how much torture it was, how hot he gets, and how he actually has to eat through a straw so he don't have to take off the makeup till the show's over. They said, we were going to pull pranks on, but then we saw how much torture he was already in. We said, oh, no, we can't do that to you.
Now, 4:15, you already mentioned the DC from page to screen, right?
Mm-hmm.
Before that, there's the Lazarus Pit Gets Real, and it's actually a look at Marvel and DC, and the different rejuvenation potions and things that they've had.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
So basically, this is why every comic book character that dies is never really dead.
Okay, here you go. At 4:30, this is a Do Not Miss panel. It's how to Comic-Con How To Draw with Jim Lee.
Jim Lee's back once again.
Yeah. If you've ever seen him on YouTube, every once in a while the videos where it's actually him drawing different characters and things.
No, I haven't seen that.
So those are
fun. I
gotta
look up on YouTube next, too.
Let's see.
We're almost
moving
done
on
here.
5 o'clock. Match of Victorious. This is moving on here.
Okay.
There. 5:30, we have DC's Young Animal panel.
Okay.
And this one will actually have Gerard Way. Then collaborators also is Cecil Castellucci, Marley Zarcone, Jody Hauser, and John Rivera will be there, and others.
And I was going to say, for me, I just got down here to Saturday, July 22nd.
We're not there yet. Hang on, we're getting there.
Are we there?
Well, I want to make sure that we've not skipped any really good ones here. Where'd it go? There.
As you're looking, this isn't really nothing to do just with DC, but they did make a deal with DC for a while ago. Boomerang Saturday morning cartoons for 10 a.m. on Saturday, July 22nd.
Oh, that would be fun.
Starting Saturday morning the way you're supposed to.
That's
with
right.
With cartoons.
Oh, we almost missed it on Friday.
What did we miss?
Friday night at 7 is the world premiere of Batman and Harley Quinn.
Oh, how did we miss that?
You were jumping ahead too fast.
Yeah, but
we get the world premiere of Batman and Harley Quinn.
Here. Then we get an encore screen, by the way, at 9:30. I just want to say.
Okay.
Cool.
Next up, we have where's cartoons?
Are we still going to see this opening night, or
I'm hoping to. Yeah.
Okay. Like I said, that was for another one, kind of related to
yeah. The encore
movies.
Screening of Batman and Harley Quinn, and then I believe that's it for Friday night. Then moving on to Saturday. Now, what'd you have for Saturday that jumped out at you?
That Boomerang.
Oh, the Boomerang one?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, moving up. Also, at 10 a.m., you get DC's Justice for All.
Justice for All.
Let me see what this is. Be here as the creative folks behind your favorite Justice League characters take center stage. Tony Daniel from JLA, Dan Jurgens from Action, Tom King from Batman, Steve Orlando from Justice League of America, John Semper Jr. from Cyborg, Nicola Scott from... that does Wonder Woman, Liam Sharp from Wonder Woman, Brad Walker from Aquaman, and Joshua Williamson from Flash have a lot to share about their favorite DC superhero, or your favorite DC Justice superheroes League. And their fight for justice. Yeah. So this is going to be the panel on all the creators of the Justice League characters.
Yeah. And what was the other one that popped up for me? I just saw it. I'm trying to find it again.
I'm looking through as we go.
Got Riverdale.
Yeah, Riverdale, that's not really not DC, but it's on CW.
Oh, there it is. DC Essential. New to comics are, well, you're at a convention because you're a fan of DC, TV, movies, video games, and other media. Beginning the season of The Flash, leave you waiting more about the source and the material. Well, look no further. This is a program as a panel express the hands to help you alongside your journey throughout the wonderful, wonderful world of comic books. Okay, so that's just, you know, going to help anybody that I guess is new. Mm-hmm. To Comic-Con and new to the comic book world. Trying to see. There's so much here.
Yeah, I know. I'm so much. Rolling it. There we go. At noon, 12:30, you get DC's Harley Quinn celebrating 25 9. Years panel.
25 years?
Yeah, 25 years of Harley Quinn. You got to remember, the Batman animated series started in 1990.
It started in 1992.
Was it?
Yeah.
Okay.
And that makes sense because I'm turning 24 this year, and that came out a year before I was born. 25. Dang. Wow.
Now, IDW is doing this one, but Jack Kirby was huge and pivotal in Marvel and DC back in the day.
Yeah.
And 1 p.m., you get Jack Kirby's 100th birthday celebration with IDW. So, but you're going to get plenty of stories from DC and Marvel out of that also.
Here's one that we're both excited for a little bit after that. 1:15 p.m., Krypton special video presentation Q&A.
Nice.
So
now, anybody at Sci-Fi or DC Entertainment or CW, we would not turn down screeners. We'll do full reviews and put them up on YouTube or anywhere you want us
wherever
to put
you
them.
Want. Help us out.
That's right.
We'll help you out if you help us out. Then we got DC celebrates Wildstorm 25th anniversary at 11:45.
Wildstorm, I gotta check the numbers. I think it's been doing pretty good
pretty
for
good,
DC,
yeah,
so
there.
They brought it back. What else we got here? We have... We're getting down. We're at 2 p.m. I'm not sure where... It looks like we may be running towards the end.
I think we are.
Because I know Sunday doesn't have a whole lot of panels. Oh, there we go. At 3:30, you get the Supergirl special video presentation at Q&A, which we talked about last week.
Then at 4 o'clock, you have a transforming characters to costume DC superheroes costume from the workroom to film set.
Okay.
That sounds pretty interesting. And then at 4:10, here's something pretty big. You get DC Legends Tomorrow special video presentation Q&A.
Okay. Moving down the list, at 4:50 is the Black Lightning special video presentation.
I wish I was there for that one.
That's why I think we're getting the premiere during the Comic-Con also.
Then
5:10 is the Flash. Remember, all the CW shows are getting their presentations and stuff on Saturday.
Then Arrow's in that same hour at 5:50.
I think Kota Bukiya, well, there's also at, what time is this? 5:30, but I believe Kotobukiya has some DC stuff that they're doing. They have their summer fall update. Moving off. Wait, this one has to be the way this. No, that doesn't have to do with DC. Ah, you do have it at 6 o'clock, the DC Masterclass. DC Masterclass is in session. Cream of the crop artists Amanda Connor, Tony Daniel, Andy Kubert, Jim Lee, John Romita Jr., and a huge surprise guest are here to share details on their new projects. This panel has the Masterclass seal of approval. Now, who could be the big surprise guest that's an artist for DC? Or maybe it's someone who's coming into DC.
Maybe. I want to say I think that's it for DC.
I don't know.
What day is this? I've just been scrolling down.
Probably still Saturday.
No, I think this is Sunday. Yeah, this is Sunday, July 23rd.
Okay. Oh, wow, Magic the Gathering actually has a panel?
Mm-hmm, I saw that too.
Let's see here. Yeah, I'm running down
my secret origins of how I broke into comics.
Who's that?
Say breaking is hard to do, but breaking into comics, or sorry, saying breaking isn't hard to do, but breaking into comic books may be something different. get inside the look of how some of DC's top-notch talent broke into the industry. Well, that's self-explanatory right there.
Mm-hmm. I guess Sunday does have some stuff. Wow. They didn't have that much last time. Last time I looked at this.
Change.
So moving into Sunday, the first one, really, 10 a.m., you get the annual Jack Kirby tribute panel.
That's neat. They got Alien Predator Extended Universe stories continue.
Nice.
That's interesting.
Now, what was the one for Sunday that popped up for you?
That was the one I just
oh, okay.
And that was all I seen.
The
DC Kids,
Spotlight on Bruce Timm at 11 a.m.
Then they got DC Sunday Art School for any of the kids that want to draw or pick up some tips.
This one will have definitely DC voices in it. It has cartoon voices too. So it'll have probably some of the guys that do some of your favorite DC characters. Buffy, I'm looking at, it looks like we're getting towards the end of Comic-Con. I'm at noon right now on Sunday. The world premiere of, come on, go back. On Sunday we get the world premiere of Lego DC Superhero Girls Brain Damage. And apparently Comic-Con just has so many panels.
Too many. Well, never too many. It's Comic-Con.
Yeah.
These are all panels, guys. I'm still waiting for some trailers to pop up out of Comic-Con. Oh, you got some there.
Yep. Well, at 2 o'clock, we get Hanna-Barbera's 60th anniversary.
Okay.
Which is a DC property.
Yeah. They're still doing great with the Scooby Apocalypse, as we said a little bit earlier.
Like I said, I'm surprised that Scooby-Doo Apocalypse is still going when the other ones have finished their runs.
Scooby-Doo's always going to have fans, I think. And the story is just good, though.
Yeah.
Who would ever thought Scooby-Doo actually fighting real monsters would sell?
Mm-hmm. And that brings us pretty much to the end of Comic-Con. Now, like I said, we probably missed a bunch of stuff. But anybody who happens to be going to Comic-Con, get a hold of us, DCSuperPowersPodcast@gmail.com, or anywhere, any social media. If you're going to Comic-Con, you want to let us know what you saw, if you enjoyed it, if you didn't enjoy it, or give us some stories from Comic-Con. We'll get you on the show so you can talk about it.
Yeah. Skype us, call in.
Exactly. We're not able to make it to Comic-Con. That's all the way across country for us. So let us know what you thought of Comic-Con this year. But that brings us to the end of our news for this week, finally.
Mm-hmm.
This was a deep, deep news week.
Very deep news week here. And I was saying,
and that's not going to let off in the next couple weeks.
Oh,
Comic-Con coming up.
The
Heroes and Villains Fan Fest are going to be going all over the place this summer.
Now, these are just panels we were naming off of what's going to be there. Now, once these panels are actually done with, then we're going to have more news because we have no idea what's going to be said there. We might get some reveals. Someone might slip up and give us some details of a future show, series, story, whatever. And also, these are just TV shows, really.
Yeah.
None of this is movies. We still got that to look forward for.
Oh, yeah. We got all kinds of stuff coming for DC. Well, it's time to get into our reviews for this week.
And
we actually have three reviews for this week.
Oh, look at that. Look at the cover
you got
there.
Oh, you got a different cover. You got a variant cover.
Yeah. Guys, look at this.
Wow. I got the cover here. I don't know if they can see it on the Facebook Live. We got to wait for the video to catch up. But this is the standard cover.
Yeah. And that's the variant cover. I saw Iris in Reverse Flash's arms while Flash was down from the story that seems to be going on. I thought that might be what actually would happen. I didn't know, but we're going to tell you guys now.
That's right. So, we start off the story. This is Flash number 25, the extra sized anniversary issue. Mm-hmm. We have, a couple more of these coming up soon. Because I know Harley, I think we did number 23 just came through.
Yeah, that'll be coming up pretty soon. Just letting you guys know, it's been out on the internet. I tried to stop spoilers for myself. Good, it got in there. Stop spoilers for myself because I didn't read the book at the time when this came out. But this is an origin story to Reverse Flash.
Yeah. And I don't know, have we ever got or his full origin from Ben? Well, I mean, we knew what
had
we
happened.
We knew why he came and all this stuff. But I don't know, have we ever seen what happened?
Yeah.
So because I believe this is actually a reinterpretation of it, too. Mm-hmm. Because in none of the stories before had him actually meeting Barry Allen
right.
and being...
being there with him.
And being kind of disappointed by his hero.
Mm-hmm. And that's the word... Have you noticed how that seems
And actually what it was he disappointed his hero more than he was disappointed by his hero.
Right. Usually you see a lot of stories like that about supervillains. They were either a big fan and became their villain.
Yeah.
I've seen that. Anyways, this starts off in 25th century. It looks like you have Reverse Flash in a Flash costume saying, who is Flash? For centuries, people saw him as the Flash, as a hero, but he idolized him. He didn't just want to... idolize the Flash. He wanted to be the Flash.
Yeah.
And this is called Running Scared Part 1, Every Breath You Take.
Breath you take.
Let's get some singing going, some karaoke.
Right.
Why not? Yeah. But he goes off here just letting us know.
You know what? That actually works, too. I'll be watching you.
Yeah.
And he studied the Flash and watched the Flash all the time.
Then I was just going to get creepy.
You know what? But since that's in parentheses, that's more than likely what they were doing.
You know what? They probably was in the writing room, like, let's just put it in there. So
yeah.
Funny joke. But you see, now this is a completely different Earbark Thawne. This, I would never even dreamed.
And they even changed the art style for this.
Oh, yeah, they did. They made it all heartwarming and heart... Basically,
everything's rounded nicely.
The way you would interpret Barry Allen becoming the Flash and being all lighthearted and excited to see everything, that's the exact same way Earbark Thawne was at first. And he's in 21st century, sees Flash got there. On the speed treadmill, and he's like, oh man, it's really you, it's the real Flash, I can't believe it. He goes over how he became the Flash, and he's like, you know what, don't call me the Flash, call me Barry. And now they're the best of pals right now.
Yes.
And they were fine until Barry started to see Earbark Thawne used his powers not just for good, but since he wanted to be the Flash, he had to make certain things so he could save them.
Yeah.
But Barry's like,
he was causing some of the problems that he was fixing.
Right, and it's like, wait a minute, we don't cause problems like that to fix them. We just fix the problem. Although it's kind of funny, because most of the problems that they have, Barry did start, even though he didn't mean
to.
But Reverse Flash
was... Welcome to comic books.
Yeah, but Earbarge was intentional.
Mm-hmm.
And this is when he was like, you know what, you broke my heart, basically. I looked up to you like an idol, and you know, you just ain't what I wanted. So then this is where Barry talks about how he became one of his... biggest fans to his worst nightmare. He went back in time, killed his mom, and basically made his life a living hell ever since then. And it keeps on going on. No matter when he dies, he always comes back. Now the Flash is back in 21st century from where we left off. And this future isn't what he was used to. The Flash gets there, and there's already guns pointed on him. And
this is the 25th century he goes back to. He goes back to the future.
Right, that's what I say.
The 25th century, right. Not the 21st.
I said 21st, I'm sorry. He goes back to 25th century. This is taking place where we left off. And when he gets there, it's these guards, I want to call them speed police. Speed force police, if you want to call
something
it.
Something like that, yeah. Police,
something. Well, they have guns on them.
These I think it's the standard police.
Well, these standard police don't have standard guns.
Well, you got to remember, this is the future. They're used to fighting, like, the Reverse Flash and stuff, and metahumans and things.
Well, when they shoot Flash, or they haven't shot him yet, but when they do shoot him, these blasts are going to take away his speed force, and they're going to pause them. And he sees there's a Flash museum, and Flash says, I never want any of this. I didn't want holograms of my friends. I didn't want holograms of my suit. I don't want to be looked at like an idol.
This is interesting that this Barry Allen, because in... former interpretations of the Flash in the comics before, like, Rebirth and before New 52, the Flash Museums already exists in this world.
Right.
Back in the 90s, when Wally West
museum.
Was the Flash, there was already a Flash Museum.
Right. It was a part of his world already.
Exactly.
Here it's all new in the 21st and 25th century, and this might be how they might get one.
Yeah.
In ours. Who knows? But he gets there in the museum, and then you hear a cry saying, Flash, look out. And it's Iris telling him this. And once he looks up, he starts getting bombarded by punches he can't even see.
Mm-hmm.
You see here Barthon looking like a classic English gentleman.
Yeah, like a Victorian. He's dressed in like a Victorian suit, complete with tails.
Mm-hmm. And he's just beating up Flash. And he says, welcome home, Flash. Originally, I had thoughts of having a setting of a classroom here and a whole teacher theme, but it felt like maybe you move past it and, you know, we could start a new stage of a relationship. Flash is bloodied up right here, and he tries to go to hit Thawne, and Thawne says, Barry, don't even try. You know I'm fast, and you don't embarrass yourself.
He needs to call Wally, older Wally.
Mm-hmm. And this is where he's starting to talk to Flash and tell him about Iris, the aunt, Wally, everything that he says he remembers have changed a little bit. But it's time he starts with the truth. This goes deep into his origin story. He says, I was a kid, and my parents were taken away from me, so I was a single child. They got taken from me from a tragic accident. I was left alone with no friends, no family, no love. But I had the Flash. I always looked up to you. You were the light in my darkest hour. And then once I found that time capsule from the 21st century of your costume, I put it on and I thought I was you. I idolized you. I wanted to be you. And the day you came and you arrived in my time, it was the best day of my life. All I could think about was, this is going to be forever. We're going to be the best of friends. He can be my mentor. And he starts talking to him there. It looked like they're at some party. He says, I'm sorry if I sound like a crazy person to you for all this stuff I'm telling you. He says, no, Barry tells him, no, you're not. I understand everything you're saying, Thawne, every single thing. Every gift is a second, is what Thawne was telling him. Barry says he agrees.
Every second is a gift.
Thank you. Every second is a gift. Words got twisted there.
Yeah.
And then next thing you know, he tried to be such a good Flash. Flash didn't approve of him being like that.
Yeah.
So he puts him in jail, and he reforms him. And while he's in jail, he's thinking to himself, man, I'm teaching these people, and everything seems to be working right. And he even got a position at the museum as curator of the museum. But something was missing. It just felt off. Everything he had filled, his promise, still wasn't enough, because he promised Flash he would be better.
Yeah.
And in doing so, he said, you know what? I'll put on the costume again. This time, I'll change everything backwards, like yellow, because all the other Flash's partners wore the opposite colors of him.
Yeah.
I honestly did not pay attention to that until he said that. I'm like, wait a minute.
Well, Kid Flash is always in yellow.
Right, but I never saw it.
Everybody sees that, because the only real partner of the Flash is Kid Flash.
Right.
And he's always in yellow with the red accents.
Right, and that's...
And that's not the original, though, because Wally originally had a small version of Barry's suit.
In his exact same suit. And they even used some of that in the Teen Titans cartoon show from the 70s, right?
I don't remember. I'd have to go back and look.
It wasn't
No, I think that was... It wasn't the Titans show. It was actually the Flash... Because originally, before Super Friends...
Right.
They had, like, the Batman-Superman Action Hour or something like that, where it was all cartoon shorts of each individual character.
Well, I think he wore that in the Teen Titans show, too, I want to say.
I don't remember.
I'm pulling it up real quick, but let's get back going as I look for that. But, yeah, he said all the Flash's partners wore the yellow, and it was in reverse, so he thought it would be pretty good if he took a different type of outlook on this. And this is where his smile just starts to look creepy. If you guys read this book, look at that space, Ken.
Yeah.
That's not right. So he goes back to Flash's time. And he sees Flash beating up Heat Wave and Captain Cold taking him down after a robbery, of course. He's seeing how the Flash is just such a hero. He's more than a hero, though. He's a friend. He's an ally. And then this is where the story starts to take a grim turn. He never wanted Eobard to be like him. He didn't like what Eobard was doing. That's why he didn't like this whole new Flash gimmick that he put on. He wanted Flash to be Flash for the sake of helping people, not making things worse.
They have pictures here of both of him, in the classic yellow with red, and then also with the red with yellow, the opposite.
Okay.
It's the same costume, just different. Flip the colors.
Okay. I've probably seen something like that. But that's actually the one that, drives Thawne to be insane now. He sees Barry with Wally at a graduation, and he's like, So you do have another part.
And Barry actually tells Wally the same thing. That,
every second is a gift.
He's like, wait a minute, I thought I was special. What are you doing telling this guy the same things you're telling me?
Well, Flash, or Reverse Flash, starts to go crazy. He says Flash is a liar. He was supposed to help me and truly show me who I am, but now I really do know who I am. And this is when we go back into what's happening currently, and this is him punching him. And he said,
and you see, it's interesting because when you get to when you get Thawne remembering things, it's all curved, and there's reason that there's multiple artists on this book, because this book had Carmine Giandomenico, which is the normal Flash artist, and then you get Neil Googe and Ryan Sook also doing art, and you can see who does what panels, because Carmine's is all the angular things that we've seen out of Flash recently,
right?
Whereas the other two guys, theirs are all the classic looking and rounded and things like that.
And he tell, and this is when Flash is down on the ground after that punch from Thawne. He says, all of this, all the deaths, the years, the torment, for what? Because I was treating you like, and then this is where Thawne says, like everyone else in your life. You gave me, I gave you credit for that, and you did treat me the same. You hurt me. I thought I was different. But you treat me like everyone else in your life. And also everyone else in your life you hurt, just like me. Well, it's time to... it's time for the people that matter to you in your life to actually matter to you. So they run through the museum, they're running, and then he says, it's finally time for you to take your own advice. Every second is a gift. And this is when we get one of the best pages in here with Reverse Flash staying on top of Broken Barry right now. He sees Iris in the back, and he says, I won't let you kill Iris, I won't let you hurt her. He says, kill her, Barry. Death wouldn't be justice. The real punishment would be for everyone in your life to know you like I know you. I mean, really, Flash, what kind of man lies to the woman he loves? And this way he pulls him up, he picks him up, and he...
Well, Iris looks at him like, wait, what are you talking about?
Yeah. Well, he says, Iris and West, in honor of... You know, this is in honor of... Well, no, my pleasure. To introduce to you, Barry Allen.
And takes the hood off.
Mm-hmm. And this is where all the things Barry's been thinking about for the last... Actually, I think since the Rebirth started.
They've been talking about what... He's been talking whether or not he's going to actually...
Tell Iris who he really is. Well, I think he waited a little too late for
that. Yeah, he didn't get that option.
No. Reverse Flash did that for him.
Exactly. And that was Flash number 25. And does it say what the name of the next issue is?
They actually do.
It says, coming next issue, you get Flash and Reverse Flash partners,
Maybe they're going to show actual time in their life where they were partners teaming up.
It's possible. And actually, it figures, we're doing Flash, you're wearing the hat, I'm wearing a shirt.
There you go, guys. If you're watching us on Facebook,
we're that's right.
Two minds think alike. Great minds think alike. Sorry.
That's right.
There we go.
Next up, we get Action Comics number 982. I can't wait to see what they do for issue 1,000. We're getting real close. We have 18 issues to go.
Like, seriously, what are they going to do? That's going to be action-packed.
Yeah.
They never did. That's the first thing ever in comic book history.
As far as I know, Action will be the first comic book to actually hit a legitimate 1,000 issues.
Make sure we pre-order this. We're not going to the comic
shop.
We're going to have to get this.
Yeah. Well, there's been plenty of books that I believe that have had an issue 1,000, issue 1 million, all that stuff, but those were all promotional gimmick type things.
Right.
This is an actual legitimate 1,000. So,
we're almost there.
We start off, remember, we're still, Superman's still working with the Revenge Squad of Cyborg Superman, Metallo, Zod, Blank, Mongo, and the Eradicator.
The Eradicator, to be honest to you, is the most scariest one for me because he's so calculating.
Yeah.
I don't like that.
And remember also, Superman at this right now is blind.
Yeah.
So,
of course, they're still scheming on him with the Eradicator.
Mm-hmm. We start off on the moon, where the Superman Revenge Squad has taken over one of Bruce Wayne's black sites. And you get Zod screaming that he wants to get to the... Henshaw promised him access to the Phantom Zone. He wants it now. And Henshaw has actually promised everybody something. And he's trying to tell them, you'll have everything you want, Zod, and everybody else will too. Just relax for a minute. And everybody else is basically telling him, we're tired of waiting. We want it now. You said if we worked with you, we'd get what we wanted. So Henshaw tells the Eradicator, let them know what's going on. Eradicator tells him straight up that Kal-El has his fortress. That's where everything we need as a team is in that fortress. So then Blank and Mongo bring up that, wait, we already took down one of his strongholds. Why do we care about him having another one? Because remember, they took out the Himalayan fortress, and that's where they got Blank from. Now, it says, then Henshaw is talking about, you need to know me better. I don't care about the fortress, only what's inside.
Excuse me.
Now, this base that they're in of Batman's is a convenient gathering place, but it isn't the only reason you're here. It's because Batman, being paranoid, has files on everybody.
Just as he should.
Uh-huh. So he knows where everything's at, and all this is in his databases. So he brings up the holographic display of the fortress. And Zod looks at it and says, it's talking about, wow, this actually is the closest thing I've ever seen to actually seeing Krypton somewhere other than on Krypton. Mm. This entire fortress is Kryptonian technology and architecture.
Yeah.
Now, and the Eradicator says it's ironic that the one who shuns Kryptonian purity would inhabit such a place. Now, so basically they're going to they're heading to the fortress to get something from it. He points out to Metallo, the only reason you're alive is because of the Kryptonite heart. Have you ever thought about how long that's actually going to last?
Well, oh, Kryptonite heart.
Huh? The Kryptonite heart, yeah.
Yeah, okay, I thought you said Kryptonian heart.
I almost did.
Oh, okay.
He says, forget about just getting a new body. He figures in the fortress, more than likely there's science that'll allow you to live forever in any body you can imagine.
And that is Kryptonian technology.
Yes.
They have so many different things.
Well, they had the whole power suit that regenerated Superman when he died.
This is getting a little off topic, but Superman's pretty smart, by the way. The Kryptonians in general are just pretty smart. I don't know if they match Batman's intellect, but don't take Superman as a dummy.
Yeah. The next page, you skipped it on yours already.
Yeah.
But you see a picture of Zod's face, and I tell you, whoever the guy, when they drew this, let me find his name, the artist. Jack Herbert or Jose Luis, one of them was looking at a picture of Ryan Reynolds when they drew this picture.
I said, let's just capture this one. Because his ears from his goatee to the nose, everything.
You're going to have to get a close-up picture of that and put it up on our Instagram so people can see
it. A photo of this right now as we're talking.
It looks like Ryan Reynolds.
It really does.
As Zod. So, everything everybody wants. Metallo's new body is there.
Got it.
The Eradicator obviously wants the eradication of and to bring back all of Krypton itself, which is what the fortress is going to allow. It says, Blank, you're going to have the means to create the worldwide canvas of death, and Mongol, you can have the new war world. All of this because of what's in the fortress. And then for the general, obviously, the Phantom Zone projector. So they're now on their way to the fortress.
Yes, and who's in the fortress right now are the Kent family.
Exactly. And for the first time, Lois and Jonathan are seeing the fortress after the battles that have been happening in recent issues.
Just as Superdog's also with them.
Yes, Krypto's with them also, but they find the smashed statues of Jonathan and Martha Kent, because remember, Superman actually had the statues of Jor-El and Lara. And Jonathan and Martha side by side.
But they are down.
So the Jonathan and Martha have been smashed. They're trying to figure, they don't know what's going on. And, they're trying to figure out what's going on, and so Jonathan says, is it okay if we go look around a bit? And Lois is fine with that, as long as be careful, because there are some extremely dangerous things here. So Jonathan says straight up, don't worry, Dad showed me what's off limits. I know what I can play with, what I can't.
And then
he goes into a trophy room with Superman's rocket ship and all these other things that are there. Flyer, the Kryptonian battle armor.
From when he was recovering from Doomsday.
And then he hears a voice. It just says, Jonathan. It's like, who? It says, listen to me. Someone's here. So this is, a couple issues ago, who was it that was at the fortress that was hearing voices? Superman, I think, was hearing. Yeah, Superman was hearing voices.
Okay.
That Kalex really couldn't hear.
Yeah, that's right.
Remember?
That's right.
Well,
I don't know what you're talking about.
While they're walking around, though, Superman's sitting in a chair, and Kalex is scanning him with all the Kryptonian stuff to see if there's any way they can give him his sight back.
Yeah, or how long this might take, at least.
Exactly. And Kalex has no idea what how to fix it, but he has. But he said the one thing he did figure out was all of Superman's sight powers are affected by this. Except for his heat vision.
Yep.
So everything else, his X-ray vision, his telescopic vision, all of that is gone.
Except for
his heat vision.
So if he can hear the enemy, which he has super hearing, thank
goodness. Well, we get to see that here in a minute, because Lois asks, so this condition is is it permanent? And Kalex and Superman can't say either way. Neither one of them know. But she says, no matter what, I still have to be Superman. Zod, Cyborg, Superman, Eradicator are still out there. They don't realize that the three of them are also working with Mongol, Blank, and Metallo. So they're talking back and forth, trying to figure out...
maybe a bow suit might help Lois' success, and that's probably not going to work.
Yeah. Lois asked about the Kryptonian battle armor, because that's what saved him when he died.
Mm-hmm.
And Kalex said, no, that was a one-time solution. We can't do that again. Superman says, well, there's still a job to be done. He says, Lois says, well, what now? He says, I work around it. I use my other senses and my experience to compensate for this. He says, against three of them, with Mongol and Blank on the loose also, any one of them is a challenge. He says, ask for help. Diana, the League, anyone, is what Lois is saying. And he says,
he'd rather not.
Yeah, I hate that it's coming to that, but you might be right. At the same time, all the alarms start going off.
Mm-hmm. Not good, not good, not good.
Yeah, so, Lois asks, well, what's going on? And Superman says, well, I'm trying to hear that. The machinery is barely audible, but highly advanced. It's outside the fortress, whatever this is. So, what hit us? Something hit us. And Kalex says, oh, not something. It was someone landing.
A lot of someone.
And you see the entire Superman Revenge Squad on the cameras mm-hmm. outside. And you get General Zod saying, son of Jor-El, surrender and I'll kill you swiftly. Resist and I'll make it painful and slow. And, of course, the Cyborg Superman says, please resist.
Yeah.
So that's when Superman tells everybody else, stay here, I'll go out and fight. So he's going out by himself against the Superman Revenge Squad, all six of them. So they basically, the fight ensues, they're fighting back and forth. Superman being blind, but it's still working, he's still able to use his hearing and his mm-hmm. other senses to figure out what's going on. Then you flip to National City, and you get, let me see where he told Kalex. Because before he takes off, he told Kalex something. I forget exactly what it was. Give me just a minute. Defense Protocol Omega. Signal the Omegahedron, or Omnihedron, which I'm not sure what the Omnihedron
is. It
is,
no.
But
we get to
National City.
And this is one... I feel Carl on this, what she's saying right now.
Yeah, here's some buzzing. Well, yeah, she mentioned about the coffee. Go ahead.
Yeah, I just saw this is how I am because coffee doesn't really do too much for me. I just love the taste of it. And she says, being Supergirl might not be able to enjoy some caffeine in her system, but that doesn't mean I don't enjoy a taste of a hot cup of them. Before she can say that, she gets something from Kalex talking to her, and it's basically letting her know, we need your help, and you need to come in, to the fortress. And she says,
yep,
I'm on my way.
I need help.
I just see, and you get the panel of her ripping off the flannel shirt, and there's that S underneath
mm-hmm.
the shirt, and her glasses
and her,
come off,
and
her
hair's
back
changes
to being blonde. See, Supergirl.
Exactly. And I hadn't noticed, actually, the difference in her S compared to his.
Oh, yeah, there's a difference.
There's a lot more. It's actually mm-hmm. closer to, if you remember the late 90s, Superman Red and Blue, that Superwoman
right.
looks like
looks
the
like,
red now.
Mm-hmm.
It's a very similar logo.
I was going to say, even in the video game and in the show, their S's are different.
Yeah. So, but then we get back to Superman fighting, and you find out how he's fighting some of these. It says, Superman has to use what he can to identify the locations, like Mongol's disgusting odor, Henshaw's mechanics, different things about each of them that he can hear. He can hear where Mongol's at, or smell where Mongol's at. He can hear where Henshaw's at. Eradicator comes up behind him and he says, oh, thanks for talking, because mm-hmm. it comes in Kal-El.
And now Eradicator is always talking.
Him.
He has one of these villains that is always saying something.
Then Zod blasts him from behind.
Saying traitor.
And, and then you get the Cyborg Superman holding him and everybody starts...
Pummeling him.
There's nothing they can do.
Nothing he can do.
And
They're drawing blood from him, by the way.
Well, Mongo, they're fighting, and all of a sudden, out of nowhere, someone took him. Zod says, no, he's ours. And, from an off-screen bubble, you see, no, he's not. Superman is ours. The only way you can get him is over our dead bodies. And as it is, the Superman Salvation Squad, I would call it.
And this is Lex that said all of this.
Yes, Lex Luthor is leading the charge.
You have Kara holding Superman, helping him back up. You have Steel. You have
Supergirl, Steel, Superwoman.
The new Superman.
Kenan Kong, the new Superman, and Lex Luthor. The mechanical Superman, or however they're going to call him now.
I'm still trying to figure out. Didn't I call up a name for him? Super Lex? Super
possibly,
Lex.
Yeah.
There we go.
And that's the last panel. Fight for the Fortress is next, and it's basically the six Supermen and Superwomen versus the six of the Superman Revenge Squad. Action is getting awesome.
It is. It really is. Last book we're reviewing is Teen Titans, Blood of the Manta Part 1.
Yes.
Now this, once again, the story's great. This is going off of everybody, but this main story is focusing on Jason Hyde. Is Jackson Hyde Jason?
Jackson Hyde on this. Hyde. But this is also, especially the beginning of this, is still the aftermath of the Lazarus contract.
Yeah, and we're going to be dealing with that thing up until Deathstroke.
Yeah.
Now, this is some great writing, guys. This book right here, great writing. I really like the direction they're going in with this. Well, we open it up, and first you get the Hyde residence, and this is where, in New Mexico. Ever since Jackson has joined the Teen Titans, he never told nobody where he was going.
No.
His mother doesn't even know. So for days, she's been panicking, calling
he just disappeared, he ran away.
Calling the police and teachers, friends, anyone. She's just going crazy until they get on the news. She turns around and sees her son on TV, and she's like, oh no, oh no, 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 no. Oh, no, no, no. This isn't good.
Especially that since he's in San Francisco by the water.
Mm-hmm. Well, we'll figure out why it's by the water is a bad thing.
Yeah, I was surprised by that reveal, what we find out with his mother and stuff.
Yeah, I didn't see that coming. Everything else I knew about why she's so worried.
Well, we being Superman, or DC Comics fans, DC Comics fans, we know who Jackson Hyde is.
Right.
We know who he's going to be. We know who his father is and all these things, so.
I think I just scratched my skill bump off.
Which is cool. There's a reason that... That's what makes it awesome, that they don't really hold on to that secret for long. They know everybody already knows this.
So, now he's... This is a training program. We don't know it is, but he's in training program against Ra's al Ghul. When I first saw this, I'm like, why the heck is he taking down Ra's al Ghul?
Out of nowhere,
right now?
He's fighting Ra's by himself,
Yeah, and he's drowning Ra's right now. And then this is where Damian comes in, and...
Yeah, he actually has all of his actual water powers.
Mm-hmm. And this is where Damian comes in and tells him, we don't kill, you understand me? We do not kill. So you drowning my grandpa wasn't good. And he's like, wait a minute, I can't believe... That's creepy to know that's your grandpa.
Yeah.
And as they're going on, he says, Kid Flash had no value. Deathstroke took advantage of him. He put us in harm's way and in danger. And he says, well, at least Wally knew where I was coming from. You have no idea what it's like my father really am. And this is where Damian basically tells, don't you go on family stuff. Ra's al Ghul is my grandfather, and then, you know, Batman being his father and everything. Mm-hmm. He knows how to deal with that whole family BS. Well, Robin tells him, well, here, I made a bladder that should help you. He said, we're not calling this thing a bladder. It's basically a backpack full of water, and he can use his water abilities to pull out to make these sores act.
Yeah, he has
basically
two,
what we've seen on Young Justice.
Yeah, two handles that are stuck in the pack that when he brings them out, they actually have water flowing out of them.
Mm-hmm. What we saw in Young Justice, he can make any construct of a weapon out of the water. This is just helping him control it a little bit better. And they start to go into their sparring session.
Exactly.
And then this is where you get the Speed Force tree, I want to call it, in Central City.
Yes.
This is where it got struck by lightning, gave Wally his powers, and it seemed like it's been a conduit to what Wally can get a spiritual feel of the Spirit Force, or Spirit Force, of the Speed Force with. As he's there, it puts him at peace, you know, eases his mind, and with everything that's
happening. He's trying to figure out what's going on, since last issue, he was fired from the Teen Titans.
Right. Well, as he's there by the tree trying to, you know, calm his mind, Raven pops up and says, hey. And Flash is so excited and shocked from this, he starts doing that whole Speed Force Flash talks thing where the speeches talk really fast and their words go into each other. What he was really supposed to say was, thanks for coming, how's it going, what's with the new team? And I wish I could say it as fast as he said it.
Yeah.
And she says, whoa, slow down while you're talking too fast. He says, sorry, that's a nervous habit, I need to fix that. And then they go on what Robin's doing and what he's trying to help Jackson with, and Wally's like, well, I'm glad to see Robin hasn't gave up on at least one of the team members. And then Raven's like, well, it's not like that, you know what he means. And he says, I need to ask you one thing, Slade, Deathstroke, he wants me to join his new team. Defiance. And this is where, if you've seen any articles or any comic books of DC, they've just been showing, like, Hugh, I didn't get this, I wish I had this. They're talking about the team right here, and in the next advertisement, you do get the team of Deathstroke's team.
Flip the page.
Flip the page. Do I got that too? Ha ha! I did
So
I did that for everybody.
Covers are different on different ones, but yeah. Ads are always the same.
Well, the ad in here, they're talking about him joining Deathstroke's team, and then you flip the page, and there's the ad for the next Deathstroke issue number 21. And it's just kind of funny that tied in there. I don't know if they did that on purpose.
Mm-hmm.
But this is where Raven says, I get what's going on. He says, you don't know how I feel. You can't know how I feel. And then this is when they get into it, basically, of you. Well, it looks like I. He said you can read minds, and you know what I'm feeling is what I'm doing right by joining his team. I gave him a chance, and he seems to be doing good. And then this is where Raven tells him, I can look into you. I'm an empath. I can tell your feelings. And you think he's doing right? Well, if that's the case, your judgment's up to you. And she goes away, and he's going to have to deal with what his decisions are.
Mm-hmm.
Now we go back somewhere in the Pacific Ocean. You get
Black Manta's Manta submarine.
Mm-hmm. Looking at Jackson. And as we know, now I'll tell you guys if you don't know, Black Manta is Jackson's real father.
Yes.
So he's looking at this boy as, this could change everything.
And what it is the necklace, Jackson has the shell necklace.
Mm-hmm.
That it looks like that's, and later on you find out also that that's what Black Manta recognized.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't know who Jackson is.
But he says, this could change everything.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's this boy walking on water, and kids are saying, Mommy, look. And he's just walking on water trying to figure out in his head, he's supposed to actually be meeting up with his mother. So he's going to...
His mom finally figured out where he's at and is on her way.
Mm-hmm. So he goes to this look like a little diner, restaurant. Excuse me. And she gives him a big hug, says, I was worried about you. And he says, no need to be worried about me. I can handle myself. She says, excuse me, but, you know, moms.
Mm-hmm.
And then she said, well, can we just sit down and talk for a little bit? They do. They start talking. He says, you know, Mom, you promised that you would talk to me about where I really am, so let's basically get this over with. And she says, your father, he's a bad man. He's an evil man. He's not like me. Sorry if I'm being dramatic, but it's the truth. I don't want you to know things that will get you hurt and get us both killed. He says, I got to get out of here because you're still not really telling me. She says, listen, I wasn't lying. She says, you think this whole time you got your power from your father? Well, she pulls out the water that they gave her at the diner, puts it in her hand, and she makes a construct of him. You didn't get it from your father. You got it from me.
Yeah.
So this whole time in his life, his mom's been lying to him, and this doesn't really help things.
And she's Atlantean, and she had purposely moved them, mm-hmm. like, outside of Death Valley, the driest place on Earth.
Yes, for a reason.
To keep the water away from him.
Yes.
So he would never find out what his powers were.
And it's not so much his powers that would get him in trouble, it's his father that would kill him if he activates his powers and starts using them.
Mm-hmm.
And she doesn't want that. Well, before they can finish, he gets a call on the communicator, and he's got to get called into action. So he leaves.
Well, also, before we get to the call, she wanted to protect him. She said, Father, I'll get you, first I need something, I'll tell you more about your father, but first I need something from you. The necklace. His necklace. It says, I kept trying to hide it from you, but you kept finding it, like it was calling to you.
Mm-hmm.
So she asked, what's that have to do with anything? He said, I never should have, let you wear it, but I thought, you've got to give the boy something. You can't erase every part of who he is. And that's when the call comes in.
And this is now back in San Francisco. It's these guys in pig masks. All I could think about was Professor Pig. Yeah. And you get Beast Boy as a Tyrannosaurus Rex, and he literally tails them, and starts biting the car. And then as he's doing all this, Starfire is recording because, you know, Garth is an internet sensation.
That's right.
So really all this was being done, and they're taking down the thieves, and it's really for him to upload it to his social media.
Yeah.
See how cool he looks. And then this is where Jackson comes out of the sewer with the wire. He says, I'm here, help. And he says, well, everything's under control now.
Yeah, we got it taken care of now.
And this is where Jackson's pissed, because he's just like, you know, you called me for this, and you guys had it taken care of. I couldn't still talk to my mom, find out answers. So he's really upset right now. And then this is where we get back to San Francisco Bay, and it looks like his mom did the same thing, walked on the water to get over here. She sees Titan's Tower. She says, if only you knew and understand how lucky we both are to be alive right now. And then this is where she hears a splash, and a voice says, it's been a long time, Lucia. Oh, wow. Lucia. Then the voice says, there's much we need to catch up on, and she makes an axe out of the water and says, you monster. Stay away from my son. And this is Black Manta coming out with his...
full armor and a spear.
Mm-hmm. Ready to kill, looks like. And the next issue will be titled Custody Battle.
So it's going to be interesting. Now we get to see Jackson actually meeting his father.
Yes, I've been waiting for this since I saw they were going to meet up. I still do miss the Jackson with the dreads.
Yeah.
But also the Jackson with blonde hair resembles the Young Justice. I wish he could grow it out and just make blonde dreads. But that's just my little thing about that. Issue was great. Everything was good about that story. I really love the build-up to it.
Yeah.
And I like how they're focusing on one character, yet still showing that their other characters are still having issues to deal with Kid Flash after everything that happened, him getting kicked off the team. Raven and his relationship probably won't stay or go anywhere since he's off the team now.
Yeah.
Damian needs to have a talking to. I know I skipped that part, but in the issue they were talking of Beast Boy and Raven of how, or not Raven, Beast Boy and Starfire, how we do need to talk to Damian because him firing Wally was not a good idea.
That should not have been his call.
No, that should have been something they all talked about. Mm-hmm. So they said we need to talk to him and make sure he doesn't really get Captain crazy.
Yeah.
Throwing his weight around. So just a lot of development going on in that story. I can't wait to read issue 2. Once again, Teen Titans has proven why.
Not issue 2, issue 10.
Issue 10.
The next issue. You may have said 10.
I said 2 because it's going to be the part 2 of this part 1. Once again, showing me that Teen Titans is a reason why it's my favorite team in DC Comics.
Yeah. Well, that actually brings us to the end of our reviews.
Mm-hmm.
And there's only one thing left to do.
You got to go to a shop.
And that sounder means it's time for our weekly trip to the comic shop for our comic shop pull list. This week for New Comic Book Day, July 12th, 2017, we have 14 titles on the list for this week.
Mm-hmm.
Starting off with one that's technically not a Rebirth title.
Yeah, I want to get this. What's the date?
July 12th.
Yes.
Why?
I thought you said 14 for a second.
No, 12th.
Sorry about that. this is Dark Days, the casting issue number 1.
You jumped ahead. You jumped in.
Well, I'm sorry.
I still got to let them know that the comic shop is brought to you by the Shazbots.
Oh.
Remember, that was their song, The Comic Shop.
And if you got Spotify, they're on there. Check them out. Pay $9.99 a month and give them a listen to. Support them. They got some good stuff on there.
Yeah. Also, you can check them out on Facebook and iTunes. They're also at Shazbots.com. Let them know that the DC Superpowers podcast sent you.
Yes, please do.
And now we get to Dark Days, the casting number 1.
I was going to ask before I get into this, the casting. Is there going to be different titles or is it going to be continued?
I think so. Dark Days is the series.
Right.
And then each of the books will be a different title, I believe.
Okay. Well, this is the casting number 1. The Joker surprise attack threatens a lay waste to all of Batman's carefully laid plans. Will the Dark Knight be able to regain his trust from the closest allies, Green Lantern and Duke? To prevent the forces of darkness from consuming the DC Universe, will Hawkman's warning stop our heroes from prying into the abyss?
Peering into the abyss.
The great comic event of the summer 2017 is on its way, courtesy of superstar writers Scott Snyder, James Tynion IV, with an art and masterclass comic artist Andy Kerbert, Jim Lee, and John Romita Jr.
Awesome.
That is just the all-star cast of writers and creators right there.
Well, the next book we have up for this week is Action Comics number 983.
That cover looks great.
Oh, yeah. It's Revenge Part 1. A beaten and battered Superman can barely hold his own against the revenge squad of his greatest foes. But hope rushes from the horizon as the Superman family arrives. Art is done by Jonathan Galipian and Victor Bogdanovich, and is written by Dan Jurgens.
And the next one we have on the list are Batgirl and the Birds of Prey, issue number 12. Source Code, part 2. Oracle crossed halves with criminal underworld in early years, and now he's caused Black Cat to cross the Birds of Prey's path. Catwoman's been waiting for a chance to get her claws on this guy for a while, but at this point, do the birds even want to stand in her way? Art done by Rules
Antonio
and written by Shawna Benson and Julie Benson.
It's still weird to hear he when you're talking about Oracle.
I know, that's why I was like, wait a minute, we talked, but we found out a while ago.
So next up we get Detective Comics number 960.
Great cover again.
Intelligence Part 3. With Zatanna joining the ranks of Batman's allies, there shouldn't be any foe the team can't take on. But does that include their teammate, Azrael himself, who might just be cracking up? Art by Raul Fernandez and Alvaro Martinez, and is written by James T. Tinian IV.
Next is The Flash, issue number 26. Running Scare Part 2.
This is another one that the cover looks awesome.
Oh, yeah. I haven't even looked at all of it. I can't wait. That's going to be a great thing to get next week. Running Scare Part 2. Barry Allen and Iris West witness chilling visions of the future, courtesy of Reverse Flash, who reveals the couple's legendary romance will yield only darkness for the world of tomorrow. Now, Thawne forces the Flash to make a choice. Spend forever alone or doomed in the future. Art done by Howard Porter and written by Joshua Williams. That sounds scary.
Mm-hmm. Next up, we get Hal Jordan and the Green Lantern Corps number 24.
Mm-hmm.
And this is another one that we said that we're getting more 25s coming up, the anniversary issues. Yeah. This was the week or 2 weeks after this, we get the anniversary. And but this is what...
I was going to say what happened recently in the last book, that reveal what she found out.
Yeah. It's going to be interesting. That and Hal Jordan finding Sinestro's ring in a Green Lantern prison. Well, we got Fractures Part 3.
Oh boy. This is just good. Sorry, I'm listening.
Yeah. all these titles of it, DC is still hitting on all cylinders, I think.
Oh yeah, they have
to be. There's only one book that's possibly struggling, and that's Cyborg, in my opinion.
And Justice League.
Yeah.
Well, it's not struggling, but for us, it's something we're not big fans of. Cyborg to me is struggling. I don't know if I meant... This is like 2 weeks ago. I'm sorry. It just now popped in my head. We looked up a new list of movies, and everything is about the same and still on the list except for Cyborg.
No, Cyborg, according to the list we just saw earlier, was still on the list.
Was
so.
It? No. Not comics, but movie.
Yeah, I know.
It's still on there?
Yeah.
Oh, the one I looked on about 2 weeks ago, they said to be announced. I think it all depends
on who they're getting their info from. So.
Oh, okay. Okay, well, never mind. maybe not.
We get Hal Jordan, the Green Lantern Corps, number 24, Fractures, Part 3. Secrets are out and battle lines are drawn. The partnership of the Green Lantern Corps and the Sinestro Corps begins to crumble before it explodes. Art by Ethan Van Sciver and written by Robert Venditti.
All right, next one we have here is Justice League of America, issue number 10, Curse of King Butcher. Now, this is a new guy. I never heard of him before. Part 1, the Ray thought he would go back to Vinity, but the citizens of America's most depressing city have found themselves caught in the middle of a mystic feud between order and chaos. The mysterious force known as the Might Beyond the Mirror has been guaranteeing Vanity's greatest wishes. Disabilities are held, romances are restored, and hope is rekindled. But it's not meant to be, as a ruthless lord of order will stop at nothing to destroy the city's dreams. They need a lot of light and a lot of darkness right now. That's just what the Ray is, and the art here is done by Andrew T. McDonald and written by Steve Orlando.
Okay. Well, we're back to New Superman, number 13. Yeah,
man, this cover, he looks a little scary.
Yeah.
He's a little evil.
Well, we have the Zero Ultimatum Part 3. Shanghai falls, and Emperor Superman rules the ashes. With an army of supervillains on the streets, the Justice League of China leads the movement to take the city back. New Superman's head isn't in the game upon discovering the shocking secret of his mother's true identity. And Wonder Woman has been transformed, and Man-Bat, or Batman, is overwhelmed. It's up to I Ching and the new Flash of China to snap Kenan out of it and save Shanghai. Art done by Billy Tan and is written by Jean-Louis Yang.
Next on our issue, and this looks great, this cover right here, another one. It's very simple, but so
good. I love this one because it's a throwback.
It is, yeah.
The cover, we have to describe it here, the cover for Red Hood and the Outlaws number 12 is the black Death of Superman cover. Except instead of the bleeding S, you get the reverse bleeding S of Bizarro's reverse S.
Mm-hmm.
And it is beautiful.
And the title of this one is The Life of Bizarro Part 1. Bizarro's final days are upon us, as Red Hood and the Outlaws rush him to Gotham City in an effort to save Bizarro's life. A new threat is unleashed in a form of Solomon Grundy. Can the Outlaws stop the rampage without their most powerful member? Who unleashed the monster in the first place? And can Grundy defeat the team to save Bizarro from certain death? Find out and start a new brand new start on the new brand adventure. Art done by Dexter Soy and written by Scott Lemdell.
Okay.
So right now Bizarro's dying. They need to get him. Although it would be nice to see Bizarro and Solomon Grundy go at. They were on the Super Friends.
Yes, they were. At one
well,
point.
Not on the Super Friends.
They were in the Legion of Doom together. Yes. So next up,
speaking of that, the next issue is Suicide Squad. But if you look at this cover, remember what happened at the beginning of Super Friends?
When they lined up on each side to fight. Yeah, Challenge of the Super Friends. Yes. Well, we get Suicide Squad number 21, Kill Your Darlings Part 1. Devastated by Rustum and his burning world, the international conspiracy known as the People reveal themselves to Amanda Waller in a desperate move to secure their mysterious endgame for planet Earth. Meanwhile, the walls tighten for Boomerang as Harley Quinn gets closer to discovering the traitorous murderer within Task Force X. Art is done by Gus Vasquez, and it's written by Rob Williams.
Nice. I was hoping the artist came back to the last one because the art for that was amazing.
Yeah.
It was really freaking good. Was that the same artist that did Aquaman?
I don't know. I'd have to go back and look.
I'll look in a second here. But next is Supergirl 11, Escape from the Phantom Zone, Part 3. Supergirl must quell to Maelstrom, tearing apart the Phantom Zone as Batgirl faces down the Phantom King one-on-one. If they fail, they will be lost in the Phantom Zone forever. And they don't want that. Brian Ching is doing the art, and Steve Orlando is doing the writing.
Okay. Next up, we get... what?
It is the same artist that did Suicide Squad and Aquaman. That's why it looks so...
Yeah. Live. And I gotta say, the new Aquaman number 25 was beautiful.
Yeah, and that's...
The new art direction on it.
And what issue was this one? This was 20. He needs to come back for issue number 25 for Suicide Squad.
Oh, yeah. But the next one we got for next week is Superwoman number 12, Rediscovery Part 3. Superwoman has taken matters into her own hands and has engaged in battle with the deadly Skyhook. The tragic origin of Crash is revealed, and the dark secret he carries has made him public enemy number one. Art done by Art Thibbett and Steven Segovia, and is written by Kay Perkins.
Nice, nice, nice. Huh. Didn't see any characters down there. Usually see in the description. Next, we have Titans issue number 13. This cover makes me a little sad. Titans number 13 is Judas Among Us as Omen begins her investigation into the identity of the team's traitor. The Titans launch a full assault on Hive, who they believe holds the key to restoring Bumblebee's broken mind. Meanwhile, tensions rise when Roy discovers Wally and Donna's blossoming romance, which threatens to tear the Titans apart. Art done by Norm Rentmutt, B. Ken Morton, and written by Dan Abnett.
This is weird. I'm still hoping that Wally gets back together with Linda.
And hopefully Roy and Donna can patch something up. Because remember, the only reason she's, I think, with him right now, as Roy said, he never was fast enough.
Yeah. Well, if I remember, wasn't there... you don't remember this, but I think at some point there was a small, I don't know how long it was, but a romance between Wally and Donna.
Maybe. Him and Raven had a relationship, Wally and Raven, but that's why I think New Kid Flash and the new comics has something with Raven, because the Kid Flash and Raven always did.
Yeah.
But I remember Roy and Donna having more, too.
Okay.
So they always had a crush and thing for each other and just kept getting stronger as the older they got. But this is Rebirth.
Yeah.
Things have changed.
Yeah, you never know what's going to go on.
Wally is not with Linda anymore. Linda doesn't really
remember
like she used
to. They will eventually, because she is still his lightning rod,
so
whether she knows it or not.
So I don't think it's going to last too long.
Yeah. Well, the last book we have for this week is Wonder Woman number 26, Heart of the Amazon Part 1. Writer Shea Fontana from DC Superhero Girls steps in for a new story. Wonder Woman finally takes a moment to catch her breath and attend a friend's wedding. But unfortunately, horrors follow her even there. Art's done by Mirka Andolfo, and like I just said, Shea Fontana did the writing. And that brings us to the end of our pull list for this week.
Mm-hmm. That really brings us to the end of the show.
Exactly. That brings us to the end of the show. And this is actually, like I said, this is was a packed show.
Yeah, it was.
14 comics. We had like 15 or so news stories and our reviews.
And, dude, so much about Comic-Con.
Much on Comic-Con. Well, and nothing is actually coming out of Comic-Con yet.
No.
That's coming, I believe that's still 2 weeks, 1 week, 2 weeks away? No, it's the weekend of the 20th. So, yeah, that's next weekend.
Yeah.
That is going to be crazy. And it's going to be amazing to see what comes from it. Hopefully we'll have to scour the DC All Access channel.
Yes.
And see what, because some of these panels may be streaming.
Yeah. Is it wrong, though, that the most exciting thing I know that's going to come out of there is a Justice League trailer?
It's a possibility.
I'm really hoping so.
There's a couple of big panels coming to it, so hopefully we'll see some news out of that, a Justice League trailer or a sizzle reel something.
Mm-hmm.
But, Vernon, why don't you let everybody know how they can get a hold of us? Now, before we do that, though, remember, we are going to be starting to put up videos on YouTube.
Yes.
I'm not sure what we're going to make, but we have this awesome set. Anybody who's seen this on Facebook Live sees the set that we've built here in the basement of the Hall of Justice. Well, we got to put this to use.
Mm-hmm.
So we're going to start putting up videos. I'm not sure what we're going to do. I have enlisted a friend who's an editor to help us out with this.
Okay. I have a friend that's an editor.
Yeah, well, that's the same friend that we're talking about.
Oh, hey, there we go.
So they're going to help. He's going to help us out with some of these videos and see what we can do and actually start the YouTube channel going.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be the DC Superpowers Podcast YouTube channel.
Yes.
So on Facebook and Instagram and Twitter, we'll let you know as soon as the channel's up and running and we got some content on there. Like I said, we need 100 followers to subscribe to the channel in order to be able to broadcast live.
Mm-hmm.
And we want to be able to broadcast live from different events like the Batman and Harley Quinn opening. Possibly some Comic Cons that we go to this summer or coming into the fall.
Yep.
There's a couple coming to the area.
Yep.
So, but we'll let you know that's all stuff that's coming. Vernon, why don't you let everybody know how to get a hold of us and where to find us? That way they can get this news.
Yes, exactly. Guys, you can find us on our social media. On Twitter, we are at SuperpowersDC. And on Facebook and Instagram, we are DC Superpowers Podcast. For my personal usage, if there's any way you can contact me, if you guys are on the San Diego Comic-Con area and you follow me on my Instagram, let me know. Get in my DMs, and we'll go back and forth. Howlin' at Wolf on Instagram, V Yellow on Twitter, and I'm Vernon McWayne Moore on Facebook.
You can find me on Instagram and Twitter at GW1Ken. On Facebook, I'm Ken Rose. You can always email the show at dcsuperpowerspodcast@gmail.com. You can also find us on the Tangent Bound and Weeby Geeks networks at tangentboundnetwork.com and weebygeekspc.com. And then we don't put it out there all the time, but if you get a chance, head over to iTunes and leave us a rating and review. Those 5-star reviews are awesome if you can give it to us, but tell us what you honestly feel. So, I always like to joke that if you really love the show, give us a 5-star review.
Yes.
If you're having problems, email us.
Yes. Somehow you're going to get in contact.
Exactly.
We're going to notice. But, you will notice.
Yeah, if you have anything to tell us, go. We're approachable. Just email us. We'll answer your questions or whatever you got. So, and then from there, did you have anything else this week, Vernon?
No, I think that's it.
Well, Vernon, thank you for hanging out this week again, my friend.
Always.
We'll keep our eyes on the news and keep watching around the multiverse. And
yes.
Super Friends, we'll see you next week.